now call the meeting order for today, November 24th, 2005. It's after 1 o'clock. 2015.
2015,
did I say? 2005. Oh. I'm just testing to see if everybody's paying attention. Exactly. That's the reason why. Okay, so to start the meeting, Councillor Groves, if you can please do the prayer, and then we'll do O Canada.
Grant us, O God, perception and patience, that justice, truth, and honesty may be evident in our planning and our governing. Make us aware of the needs of each part of this town of Caledon. Save us from parochialism that divides, and so create in us a desire for progress and responsible action, that all our words and deeds may be in accord with thy will, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Thank you. Before we move to accepting the council agenda here, we have some addendums that we would like to add. There's one removal of Brad Rogers. Groundswell planners will not be delegating today. But we do have some added delegations, one of Glenn Brohl. And we've also have an added closed meeting item, confidential matters for identifiable individual, including municipal employees, CEO, recruitment update. Also, we have some added correspondence, CP 1, 2, and 3. And with all of that, those changes being made, I would like to, as moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that the agenda of November 24th, 2015 council meeting be approved as amended. All in favor? Carried. We'll now move on to move by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that council shall go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the purposes of confidential verbal report of Chris Burnett, partner of DLA Piper, advice on the subject, solicitor-client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding provincial facilitation. We'll come back out and deal with that after. And confidential personal matters about identifiable individual, including municipal employees, Chief Administrative Officer recruitment update. All in favor? Carried. Session. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, the confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner DLA Piper, advice on subject solicitor client privilege and litigation, legal advice regarding provincial facilitation be received. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that confidential personal matters about identifiable individual, including municipal employees regarding Chief Administration or Administrative Officer recruitment update be received. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Now for delegations, if we can please go to Glenn Brohl. Could you please come forward? Okay. And Minish Dave, you're here as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, yes, so you have 10 minutes.
That's great. Thank you very much. Glenn Brohl from Glenn Schnarr Associates. And
thank you. Glenn Brohl from Glenn Schnarr and Associates. And Manesh is going to start with a little opening remark, and then I'll follow up.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Manesh Dave from Blackwood Partners. I'm here on behalf of the two landlords that own roughly, collectively, 300 acres of lands that are within the ROPA 28 boundary as contemplated. The two landlords are AIMCO and HOOP. AIMCO is the Alberta Investment Management Company. HOOP is the Healthcare of Ontario Pension Plan. So both of these companies have the responsibility of investing and managing pension plan fund dollars on behalf of various different government agencies. An important part of that strategy is to own real estate. I can tell you, for example, AIMCO owns about $12 billion in real estate that they plan on holding. We buy, we develop for the long term, and we hold for the long term. And what we develop is Class A product. We're leaders in the field of sustainability, of getting LEED certification. So that's the type of product we develop. But even beyond that, once we've developed that product, we have professional asset management and property management that is in place 24/7 to ensure that we maintain and upkeep that asset. And because we have a view to a long term, and these assets are so important to the pension fund on their balance sheets, we also like to ensure that we are seeking out and really going after some of the best companies that have some of the best practices throughout Canada and actually, you know, internationally. And because of the product that we actually build, and because of the professionalism with which these assets are managed, we do have in our portfolio right now some of the best Fortune 500 companies that need retail industrial space throughout Canada. And so I just wanted to highlight that, with us, you've got a development partner that really is bringing something unique to the game here, and that's going to translate, in my mind, into benefits for the town. The first benefit is going to be an immediate benefit, and that being that you're looking at probably $50 million plus in development charge revenues to the town just from R2 developments, plus millions more in terms of permitting fees, application fees, and all the rest of that. The other immediate benefit to the town is going to be the fact that the minute we put shovel in the ground, we start creating jobs. It'll start off with construction jobs, but then we're going to move into the ongoing benefit. The ongoing benefit is going to be that you have now widened and given a little bit of more diversity to your tax base, and you've created a business park that's going to have a constant and continual need for employment, for jobs, for people. And so you've got both the immediate benefit of us coming here and starting to construct, but that's going to translate into long-term sustainable benefit for the town. Thank you. Okay.
And with that excitement said, this was our mandate to move forward with bringing the employment opportunities to the town of Caledon. And we have had the opportunity to sit in on all the provincial facilitation. We know that the report before you today is to deal with the signing of the minutes of settlement. Our ask of you is to allow those minutes of settlement to move forward so that we can come back and stand before you under the LOPA process, or the local official plan amendment process. And I know that the town has also moved forward on looking at town-initiated rezoning. With the LOPA and the rezoning moving forward, this will make us a huge step forward to bring these jobs to the municipality. So we wanted to have an opportunity to present this information before you today, and we look forward to continuing the relationship with council and moving this forward and jobs to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Councillor Groves.
Thank you both for your delegation. Can you, Manesh, sort of elaborate on the type of product that they're looking at bringing? You said they're part of the Fortune 500 companies, and those are some of the employers that we are looking to attract here in the town of Caledon. So I just want to know sort of their history, the type of employers that they're prepared to bring to Caledon.
Sure. Through the mayor?
Yes.
So there's basically a covenant check that we do. So what we look at is not simply having somebody come in and provide, you know, sign on as a tenant and come into our space. We'll have leases in place. So the type of tenants that we look at are people that not only have that are sound financially, but they have best practices and will respect the real estate that we're giving them access to. So at this point, I would not be able to narrow it down to say this is definitely going to be this type of tenant in terms of a particular industry or a particular type of use. What I can tell you is that we go to great lengths to put lease very strong leases in place that ensure that the person that's going to be operating that isn't going to be, you know, scuffing up walls and having pallets laying on the floor and, you know, all these things that you see in some derelict parks. That doesn't happen with us. We ensure that it gets taken care of the right way, and we have tenants that realize the importance of having assets show properly.
So just some food for thought moving forward. The community, I know that my community in Bolton, mm-hmm. they've been concerned for many, many years with the number of increased truck traffic in the community, logistics popping up everywhere.
Right.
I realize that it is an industrial area. However, moving forward, that is a real concern for the community because we're having huge challenges with the number of trucks that are coming through Bolton and through the village of Palgrave. So I would just put that out there to you for some food for thought when you're looking at those Fortune 500 companies and the type of employers that you're looking to bring to Caledon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your delegation. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that Council waives Section 8-2 of the procedural bylaw to permit a delegation to be heard by Sherry Baroshi regarding provincial facilitation, proposed settlement on ROPA 28, planning process for Bolton residential expansion area. All in favor? Carried. Ms. Baroshi, do you want to come forward? You have 10 minutes as well.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to clarify it's not in regards to the report. I don't know if Carrie got my email. It's about the letters that were sent. In regards to the report I've read numerous times, and I will hold my comments on that. So, good afternoon, Mayor Alan Thompson, council, staff, and members of the public. My name is Sherry Baroshi, and I am a resident of Caledon. I'm here today to get some clarification on two matters. I received the agenda and the addendum of the agenda from the Town of Caledon, and I want to thank you for that. I noticed that there was a letter from Mr. Glenn Burrell from Glenn Schnarr and Associates, I apologize, regarding Ontario Holdings sent a letter in. He sent the letter in along with his delegation today. There's another letter that was sent from Mr. Jonathan Roger from Zelinka Priamo Limited on the agenda. Both letters are pertaining to moving forward with ROPA 28 and the local official plan amendment expediently and were part of the facilitation process. Firstly, I would like to draw your attention to Mr. Broyles' letter dated November 20th, 2015 in the second paragraph. And I quote, Ontario Holdings Limited is eager to move quickly as possible towards development of their lands for employment uses with local official plan amendment and implementing zoning brought forward to council consideration at the earliest opportunity whereby Ontario Holdings could move forward with site plan approval and construction. Secondly, Mr. Jonathan Rogers' letter dated November 20th, 2015, also the second paragraph. Bolcol desires to move quickly as possible towards development of the zoning brought forward for council consideration at the earliest opportunity whereby Bolcol could move forward with site plan approval and construction. I then checked the Town of Caledon's website for Ward 4 development applications and notices to see if there has been any applications put forth. I saw nothing for the above two mentioned possible applicants. I'm very aware of the history, the pressures, and the discussions that have gone on at the town and the region. I am very empathetic to that as well. However, when one reads, quote, site plan approval and construction, even the zoning, I do have some concerns. We as the public are not aware of any applications to the above noted addresses, never mind the site plan approval, which I might add that the public is not allowed to participate in. the construction and the zoning, and what zoning is going to be there. Even further, it is not listed on the town's website, and there has been no notices of these applications, no open house, no public information meetings, as per the Town of Caledon's website. I'm not here to discredit anyway by anyone and any means. The strong wording and the possible perception out there for people that don't really understand planning, this could possibly be misinterpreted. However, if I can say this, is it possible that just the wording is there that is wrong, that people might be misinterpreting? And if that is the case, I'd like to encourage the parties at this time, plus future applicants moving forward, could we possibly say, quote, moving forward expeditedly with our client's application or future application after the process has taken place and once the OMB has issued its orders. Or, another suggestion, after all parties come to an agreement with the minutes of settlement. I know it's a very high, intense situation, but somehow, some way, we must come to an agreement, even if that means sacrificing on all parties, not one, but all. I am very empathetic to the town. We need the new assessment. I've looked at the budget. I've looked at previous budgets, and I know we do. We are going to grow, and that's going to cost us money as well. This would not only close that perception, but also teach a person or persons, mostly the public, about the process of planning and the steps that is part of planning with any applicant or application before the zoning is implemented, especially if it's been appealed. Could you please clarify to me, along with others, what the statuses of these two particular sites are, what is the zoning they are applying for, exactly what type of industry, thank you, Councillor Groves, where may I see these applications, and or is there any more like this for our future employment lands on Coleraine? I believe Caledon as a whole will prosper and thrive, together with everyone involved, and also a better understanding of the process of development, whether it be appealed or not. Thank you, Mayor Thompson and Council, for giving me this time to delegate today.
I have one question for you, Ms. Barocci, but I will say, as Council, we can't comment or tell people how to write letters to Council.
I know that. I'm just putting it out there for everybody that be a little bit more empathetic to the people that really are not have those licenses to be a planner or whatever. There's an interpretation out there. I got a couple of phone calls, and it was asked, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to come here, open it up. Let's talk about it. Is there a better way? The thing has been appealed. We all know that. But the strong wording in the letters, it kind of made it look like it was a, you know, and I don't want to go down that road. Yeah. I'm just opening the door of communication. That's all.
Thank you. Councillor Groves, do you have a question?
I do. Just for clarification, and Sherry, thank you for coming in. She's always taken an interest in the community, so thank you for being here. But it, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Mrs. Hall, that maybe Mrs. Hall can provide some clarification on a process that needs to happen. So even though the wording, and as the mayor said, we cannot control what people write, but Mrs. Hall can provide some clarification of a process that this must follow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Groves. In regards to the process, right now the employment lands on the west side of Coleraine are actually before the Ontario Municipal Board. If Council does endorse the facilitation, the idea is that in February, where we have a block of time put towards the hearing on ROPA 28, there would probably be a day set aside for the settlement of ROPA 28 so that it would receive approval from the Ontario Municipal Board. After that happens, then the town has already held the public meeting for the local official plan amendment, and we would be working towards bringing that secondary plan to you. We are also working on the zoning bylaw for the lands as part of an initiative by the previous CAO. He had asked us, as we were doing the secondary plans, could we also do the zoning at the same time? So we have not held that public meeting yet. We actually have to prepare that zoning bylaw, go out to the public to get their comments, and then process it. We would like to be able to do that at the same time as the local official plan amendment, if time permits us to do that. So we'd bring one report on both the local official plan amendment, the secondary plan, and the zoning bylaw at the same time. If neither of those two matters are appealed, then they're both in force and effect, and then the applicants would then be within their opportunities to submit site plans to the town of Caledon to proceed with construction on the property. If there are appeals, everything slows down while we work through those lovely appeals.
Thank you, Mrs. Hall, so that process, and I think this is where the community is coming from, is that they want to make sure the process is open, it's available to them for comments, and to put it out there, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. So that process then, as I understand through your comments, will be an open process, that the public would be available to come out and make comments and so on. And it's not an unusual process.
No. So both the secondary plan, which is a local official plan amendment, and the zoning bylaw are both planning processes that require us to be open and transparent and public.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to our next delegation, moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Mizzapelli, that the Council waive Section 8-2 of the procedural bylaw to permit the delegation to be heard by Glenn Schnarr and Glenn Schnarr Associates regarding provincial facilitation, proposed settlement on ROPA 28, and planning process for the Bolton Residential Expansion Area. All in favor? Carried. Mr. Schnarr, you have 10 minutes. Welcome.
Thank you, Your Worship, and members of Council. I'm sure I won't need the 10 minutes. And I notice that we have a busy agenda today, so I'll try to move on. It's interesting to be standing here talking about provincial facilitation because we've all had so many opportunities to talk about provincial facilitation. But it's interesting to reflect back to the first time that we discussed provincial facilitation. And I have the feeling, my recollection is, that I agreed with all members of council who were discussing provincial facilitation, and that is that we may have facilitation, but it won't get us anywhere. We're still going to have an Ontario Municipal Board hearing. And you considered it on November the 10th, and there was a lot of that sentiment expressed by this council. It was interesting that finally the Region Appeal was expressing the same sentiment when they considered it on November the 12th. And we all know that we've had a lengthy facilitation that was not inclusive. It dealt with Brez, even after requests from Brez 3 or Macville and from Bolton North Hill or Brez 1. The provincial facilitator chose not to invite us. It was anything but inclusive. And the recommendations of the provincial facilitator that are reflected in the minutes, excuse me, Your Worship, in the minutes of settlement have a great effect on our land. And we were left out of the process. And so for us, it was very disappointing. We also know that if the region has, they're really a ROPA review on a bit of steroids, I guess, that they're going to do a bit more than what they might have normally done, but the region has the right and ability, as a matter of fact, the role and mandate to review the ROPA application, and they can choose the level of veracity that they might like to implement in that review, and they've chosen. There was a vote on November the 12th. We're going to have what I like to think is a very thorough review of the town's ROPA application. Some people might consider it to be a redo as opposed to a normal review of a ROPA, but it does implement the minutes of settlement that have been approved by the region. I'm here today on behalf of Macville or Bolton Option 3 and on behalf of Bolton North Hill to ask the town that notwithstanding the history that provincial facilitation has had here, notwithstanding that this council was proved right and will be proven right again, that it has undertaken an all-inclusive, comprehensive planning process that it can still be proud of, is that this is not going further until such time as the region proceeds with the process. It's our opinion and my client's opinion that we'd be in better shape proceeding with that process if Caledon, the municipal partner in Peel, was there with Peel and working closely to get it done It wasn't the way that we saw this unfolding at the very beginning. And even when Caledon chose not to participate in the facilitation, and the region chose to go to facilitation, it was the right decision for this council to make to be there and represent it. Even though you were representing really a minority position there at facilitation, and now, even though it might not have been this council's position to support those minutes of settlement, although I guess we'll never know for certain because council on the 10th made the decision to defer. Now council is making a decision here which, with the greatest of respect to this council, is almost a moot point because the region is going to consider the minutes of settlement. They're going to implement the minutes of settlement, and on behalf of BRES Option 1 and BRES Option 3, we will be participating as closely as we can to ensure that there is a fair and proper review and to ensure that Caledon's planning process is proven to be fair, inclusive, and comprehensive, as we're confident that it will be. So notwithstanding we've been here in the past with our concerns with the same similar position regarding facilitation, we believe it's time to turn the page and to move along and work closely with the region. We also believe on behalf of BRES 3 that it actually provides perfect timing for this council to confirm its commitment to continuing with the BRES process through the continued preparation of the BRES secondary plan, and to try to provide a time frame for that, to have that completed. It would certainly be to the town's benefit to be able to be a bit further down the road and be able to demonstrate that to the Ontario Municipal Board if we get there. And given that that Solmar is involved in the facilitation, given that Solmar has appealed virtually every appealable plan that's ever been adopted in Peel since for the last 6 or 8 years, they certainly have caused a lot of delay for Mayfield West. They caused a lot of expense for Mayfield West before they withdrew their appeal. The town, the region, and my clients spent a lot of money. I don't doubt that this happens again, but I also don't doubt that the further we are down the road, hopefully completed with a secondary plan, the more confirmation of the comprehensive planning process that Caledon has undertaken and should be proud of, Your Worship.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hold on. I got a question for you. Councilor Ms. Belli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Mr. Schnarr, for coming and delegating. I just wanted to clarify for myself. So you do represent the Option 3 landowners. And listening to your delegation, and I want to make sure I get this right before I proceed, are you suggesting that council approve the minutes of settlement to allow this process to move forward?
Yes, and in saying that, and just to clarify it, and thank you, Councillor, through you, Your Worship, is that I think it sends a signal to the region and the province that Caledon wants to be positive and wants to move forward and is confident in its planning process. It's a good message to send forward, in my opinion, particularly in the alternative, if it's not signed and Caledon doesn't endorse it. Peel has already made the decision to embark on the same planning process, and Caledon may find itself a bit more alienated from that planning process than would otherwise.
Okay, so where I want to go next is the lawyer for that same group spoke vehemently against supporting the minutes of settlement. And so I'm finding from the same landowners group two conflicting suggestions. I'm wondering if you could speak to that.
Well, with greatest respect, Councillor, through you, Your Worship, I thought I made it clear in the initial parts of my delegation that we were on the same ship floated down the same river towards the same sea as the Council of the Town of Caledon. But things have changed since then. We were here on November the 10th hoping that the town of Caledon wouldn't support those minutes of settlement. And we were at the region on November the 12th, and it was Patrick Carrington of Ayrton and Burles on behalf of the Option 3 landowners. The Option 1 landowners were of the similar opinion, hoping that we might get on with life, that we don't go through a more comprehensive, expensive public review that delays the process when we're going to end up at the Ontario Municipal Board anyway. Let's get on with it. That's what Patrick Harrington said. That was our mindset then. The region has chosen. They're going to do a review. We'd rather be parties to that review. We'd rather work cooperatively in that review. And we're suggesting, as a result of the decision that was made by the region, that it's probably appropriate for the town of Caledon to participate in the best way that you can and sit at that table. And we certainly hope to be doing the same thing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Bedford.
Thanks, Glenn, very much. I understand the need to play nicely in the sandbox together. I guess my question is, with respect to Brez, in your opinion, is there a risk with signing this and going moving forward, particularly with the Brez area?
If there was a risk, it was the risk of the region, because they're the decision maker, through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Bedford. They're the decision maker. They made the decision. It wasn't Caledon's decision to make. It might have been Caledon's decision to endeavor to influence the region, and I think that happened. But there was a risk when the town filed the Regional Official Plan Amendment application in support of its Brez study. There was a risk that the region would undertake a review, as they normally do, of the official plan amendment application filed by the town and find that it was inappropriate, that a bad decision was made and they couldn't support it. That would be after a lot of thorough technical review by the region, its staff, its consultants, and a lot of public consultation. Now they just put it on steroids a wee bit. There's a risk. There was a risk before. Is the risk higher now? Probably a bit. But on the other hand, there's going to be a lot more intensive scrutiny, and we intend to be there every step of the way to ensure that that risk is reduced in the best possible way, as I'm sure your staff will be there every step of the way, supporting the planning process that has been thorough and comprehensive, that is the hallmark of Caledon planning.
Okay. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, and thank you, Mr. Schnarr, for your presentation. I just want to ensure you, as well as our residents, that no matter what the outcome or the decision of Caledon is today, we will be heavily involved in the process. I don't think that you could stop us. We're definitely going to be there and seeing the process and working with the region to see its completion in a timely manner, because it is important to our residents and our community. Thank you.
We're grateful for that. Thank you, Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Mr. Schnarr.
I appreciate it.
It's all the delegations I have at the moment, so I'm going to bring back the resolution as standing, moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that paragraph 3 be replaced with the following: that the planning process be complete to complete the implementation of 2031 growth plan targets in Bolton be referred to the next council meeting to allow further consideration. So the process, Madam Clerk, I guess we do have to have this withdrawn. Is that the proper process, or what do you want to suggest?
No, Your Worship. So okay. I will ask Barb to place on the projector, the amendment that was placed on the floor when this whole item was deferred by council the last time. So procedurally, what's happened, essentially, from the last meeting, we've pressed pause. And here we are today, and we're unpausing. So we're just we're starting again from where we ended off at the last council meeting. So this is the amendment on the floor. If council wishes to debate this, this is what they're able to do at this time.
Okay, Councillor Innes.
So it seems kind of mute, and it's already happened. In the essence of time, I would like to request that council vote on this motion so that we can get on to the main recommendation by staff.
Okay. Okay. So she wants to vote on it.
To remove it.
Withdraw. Oh, sorry.
I can't withdraw it because it's now a motion of council, so we have to agree as a council to withdraw.
And I am so proud of my members of council who know their procedural bylaw, so that is correct. So for those in the audience, when a motion is in the possession of council, all nine members, not one member is able just to withdraw something. So it does require a motion to withdraw this. So I need a mover and a seconder to withdraw this motion, and a vote needs to be taken, Your Worship. Okay.
I have a mover, Councillor Befford. Councillor Downey, thank you. Councillor Befford, and then Councillor Downey. Okay, all in favor? Carried. Okay, so that's withdrawn. So now if we can put the other motion back up, probably I'm sure everybody wants to see this. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer. That the report DP 2015-097 regarding provincial facilitation proposed settlement on ROPA 28 be received, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute the minutes of settlement regarding the regional official plan amendment 28, that the planning process to complete the implementation of 2031A growth plan targets in Bolton be supported, and that the report DP 2015-097 be forwarded to the region appeal, the provincial development facilitator, and the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. Councillor Ennis.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. And I'm going to ask people to pardon. I've written this out because it's quite convoluted, and I want to make sure that I get all my thoughts in so that, in particular, my residents understand my decision today. I believe that Caledon has always complied with provincial planning policy. Peel Council's decision to support the Minnesota settlement was a separate issue from the town's court case against the region's motion. The region rescinded the motion and therefore left nothing for the town to argue. So in my opinion, why would you rescind if nothing was wrong in the motion in the first place? I supported rescinding the motion at the region because I never supported the motion in the first place. Caledon will dictate Caledon's growth. Caledon is not resisting the growth plan. We have complied with provincial legislation, including ensuring an open, public, and transparent process to adapt the regional official plan for the BREZ process. Residents have concerns that in a few years, Caledon's population could be that of Brampton. This is simply not a reality. There is an entire process that is open and public to allocate population numbers. We are currently prepared to grow to 108,000 by 2031 and have agreed to an additional 5,000, which still needs to be approved by the region. This is far from Brampton's population of 500,000 people. The cost to service these lands and development in Caledon will be borne by the developers, not the residents of Peel. Caledon has already set this precedent with front-end loading in Mayfield West, and growth must pay for growth. This will ensure that my children will not be carrying the debt load to service new development. The intent of the motion I presented in the past with regards to the White Belt visioning is to ensure that the most attractive lands for employment purposes can be identified and protected so that we have the employment land capacity to be financially sustainable into the future. We are working hard to ensure employment lands are located in the right place. I have spoken in opposition many times with regards to facilitation in regards to the BREZ process, because I was concerned that the province would allocate population to a specific parcel of land and circumvent the growth plan. I am pleased that the minutes of settlement have done neither of those things, but rather have highlighted and enforced the process that already exists, a fair, open, public, transparent process, which has always been required for a regional official plan amendment for an urban boundary expansion. I truly believe that either way, we're going to be at the OMB on this matter. The fact that Caledon and the region have followed provincial legislation with an open and transparent process will only support Caledon's good planning when their final decision is rendered. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mary Hall and Chris Barnett for standing firm during the facilitation process and protecting Caledon's position in planning. Based on the outcome, you clearly were heard, so thank you very much. It's also my understanding that no matter what decision Council makes here today, these minutes will be ratified at the OMB, and the ROPA 28 lands will be moving forward, as well as the process outlined in the minutes of settlement for BREZ. I fully support ROPA 28 moving forward, as it's agreed upon in the minutes of settlement. I do have concerns with the process outlined for BREZ, but either way, I'm happy that this process is going to be moving forward. I think that we need to get moving on this. So that being said, I think that this vote is somewhat ceremonial. I don't know if that's the right word to say. Because whatever decision we make isn't going to be reflected or isn't necessary at the OMB. So today I'm going to be standing firm with my decision and my opinion all along in this process that the process wasn't warranted, it wasn't required, it wasn't appropriate, and so I will not be supporting the minutes of settlement. I'd also like to ask, oh, actually, it's already up there. I would like to say that as the counselor for Wards 3 and 4, I am committed to moving the BRES process forward and will be introducing a notice of motion later today with regards to the secondary plan process for that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. Councillor Groves?
Well, I don't know how I top that, Councillor Groves. Councillor Innes, I guess I do have some concerns with the process that happened with facilitation. When we started this process, our residents came out and made it very clear that they did not want us to enter into facilitation because it wasn't an open process. The facilitation process was really a closed-door process. I believe that there are items that were discussed in that facilitation process that was not supposed to be discussed, as per the minister's request and as per the minister's letter dated September, or I can't remember the date, if it was September the 10th or something like that, that he wrote. I am disappointed that Caledon was basically forced into facilitation against what we believed, that the town of Caledon went through an open and transparent process in selecting the option that they did. Originally when this started, and I will sound like a broken record, but I will say it again for the record, this was as a result of an MZO issued by the province of Ontario on the Canadian Tire lands. It has now become something totally different. It is no longer about the MZO, and as a matter of fact, it is my understanding that that MZO, the request to revoke it by the appellant, was withdrawn the day after facilitation began. We are now into another discussion about population numbers and where it should go, and in my opinion, I did not support it at the Region Appeal. I was disappointed that members of council at the Region Appeal that supported this moving forward went against, in my opinion, the Region Appeal's official plan. The way the Region Appeal sets out its planning is that it is done from the bottom up. We have always respected that in our other municipalities in Peel Region. We have never gotten involved in telling Brampton or Mississauga how to plan their community. I believe that Caledon, along with the region, in the past, when we've dealt with many other ROPAs, when we dealt with ROPA 24 and all the other ROPAs, ROPA 29, which is now in effect, I believe that we went through a very open, transparent, and fair process, and it has been very disappointing to see that now that process has been somewhat taken away from Caledon, placed in the hands of individuals that really don't understand Caledon. Caledon is a unique municipality within the Region Appeal. It's different from our other two sister municipalities. We've got 80% of protected areas in Caledon. The growth plan, in my opinion, does not reflect Caledon and the way Caledon should be planned. It's sort of a whitewash, I guess, if you want to call it, a paintbrush that paints everybody the same way, and it can't work in the town of Caledon. The way we develop, or Brampton develops, or Mississauga develops, isn't the way Caledon is developed. And those densities and those ratios set out in the growth plan, Caledon has a difficult time achieving those plans because of our uniqueness. So, having said that, Regional Council voted to adopt the minutes of settlement in the that came out of the facilitation process. I think Councillor Innes is right. It is a moot point. However, I believe that we need to get ROPA 28 moving forward. In our last budget presentation, We looked at the numbers, we looked at the percentage, we looked at the ratio between residential development and industrial commercial development moving forward, and it was not a sustainable ratio. I believe that we need about to achieve a 70-30, a 60-40 would be ideal. We are nowhere close to achieving that ratio as it sits. And so the burden of taxation rests on the shoulders of the residents. We need to move forward with our employment lands. We need to bring those on stream so that we can take some of the burden from our residents in paying the high taxes. So I will be supporting the minutes of settlement because I think ROPA 28 needs to move forward. I am disappointed, however, that the BREZ process got tangled up in this whole facilitation because it was very clear that the minister did not want BREZ to be part of facilitation. I am disappointed with the vote or the politicians at the Region Appeal that supported this. And I will say thank you to our staff at the town of Caledon. Thank you to the staff at the Region Appeal. They get it. They are working very diligently. They have put their best foot forward. They have put their expertise forward. And I'm not a planner. I don't understand this issue entirely because it's a very complex issue. And unless you are a planner, it's very difficult to understand the intricacies in this process. So I am going to rely on our planning staff that they can take us through this process, and this process will become a fair and open process, not a closed-door process where individuals are making backroom deals. So, and again, you know, the whole idea was to save money, not going to the OMB. Facilitation did not save us any money. Facilitation cost us money. So moving forward to a board hearing, we're going to have a bigger cost at the Ontario Municipal Board. So in my opinion, facilitation did not settle what the main issue was. It was expensive. But moving forward, I think that the town has done its due diligence on ROPA 28. It needs to move forward. And the rest of it, Caledon needs to move forward. So I will reluctantly support the minutes of settlement from facilitation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I'm going to be speaking in support, like I did 2 weeks ago, in support of accepting the staff recommendation to accept the facilitation settlement. The ROPA process, I would challenge the regional councillors around this table that maybe the region needs to have a standard process. Right now, the process, you can have different things. We've just seen this one having a few extra steps, but the region does have the rights to review our plan. What's happened is it sat down there for the last roughly a year and nothing's happened. So the settlement does get that moved off of a desk and actually it will be reviewed. I fully intend to remain a part of it, just like staff will be, just like our consultants will be, and just like my fellow councillor will be, because we fully intend to see the development of the new community right through to the end in the way that we want it. So we don't intend, and we will, as Caledon, and I think regarding an article that was printed last week that Caledon doesn't have the planning, the region's going to do the planning, that's not right. We will develop this community the way that we see fit, not the way somebody else thinks it should be. We can get into how other people have done their own communities. We're certainly going to do better with ours. ROPA 28 was approved at the region. It was approved here. It needs to continue on. We've got people willing to make an investment in our community, people who are interested in promoting our community, and we need to get that done. So I'll continue to support it. We didn't want to be part of the facilitation. We ended up having to become part of the facilitation. I think staff and Chris, you did a great job in defending our position. I think staff and staff within this building understand that. I think our residents need to fully understand that the work that everybody did, representing what work we've been doing here, it was all been top shelf, and we continue to do it. Let our Brez study and the work that we did stand on its own feet with the review, and I'm sure, having been involved in that whole project, that we can defend everything that we came up with. So I have no questions that way. What it does do, it is allows these two things to move on, one for substantial investment within the community, and the other one to help us to develop a new community that's going to be part of it, and it's probably going to be the best community within the region of Peel. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Trubert. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you very much, Mayor Thompson. I have one question and some comments and thoughts. But first, I want to take a moment to offer thanks, particularly to our staff. Mary, you and your staff under you have taken Caledon, particularly in this Brez process, through a very involved, engaged process that, you know, we talk about it and it's repeating it, but it's important to say open and transparent and inclusive. And every stakeholder that had a stake in Brez was open and invited to participate, and they did. And collectively, they helped shape the result that came out of our Brez process. So I want to thank you. I want to, through you, thank your staff and let you know that I fully support the work that you've done and the ethics and professionalism that you execute in doing the work that you do. So I want you to know that. And although I don't sit at the Region Appeal, everything I hear says that the staff there are of the same caliber. And I want to offer my thanks for them in working through this process. One thing that's very important to me, extremely important to me, is I make principled decisions. This is a really good example of an issue that it's like a moving target, and it's just kept moving. And I get that's part of the process to some degree, part of the political realm. But at some point, and certainly the point where I have to put my hand up for or against, I take very strongly the importance of casting a principled decision. The question I want to ask is, other than facilitation, what links ROPA 28 with the Brez process? I'm wondering who would be able to answer that for me.
Ms. Hall?
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor Mezzapelli. That's a good question. The one thing that I can think of that links the two would probably be the fact that we have to plan for the 2031 population. So the ROPA 28 is the employment numbers, where the Brez is the non-employment and population numbers. So that completes the allocation of population employment that we gave to Bolton.
Right, and I see that as being similar to provincial policies. Whether it's a residential or whether it's industrial, we are bound by provincial policies. So they both speak to that and have to conform to that. But as entities that we submit to the Region Appeal, I see them largely as separate. If the ROPA 28 exercise had not been appealed and had gone through the normal process up to the Region Appeal, it would stand on its own. It would have to meet all of those requirements that you just expressed. It wouldn't be linked directly to our Brez process. Through OPA 226, we have broken out our population and allocation numbers, and these processes refine it to the location and take those numbers and allocate them to a geographical location. The challenge I have, the frustration I have, is that, and I think I could safely speak for council, that we didn't support the facilitation process. Through facilitation, those two formally got linked in a way beyond what you and I have just described as conforming to policy. And that has created the situation there we are. And the delegates that spoke in favor of ROPA 28 absolutely support what they're trying to do, want that to move forward. If we hadn't have been appealed and facilitated, hopefully those would have been in place already and we would have been moving forward on that. I fully support that. The challenge I have here is when I look at this, ROPA 28 is the leverage acting on the BRES process. And that is where my principal decision starts, my red flags start going up. And it is through this facilitation process that these two have been now very closely, inextricably, because they're both part of the same minutes, linked. And so I wanted to ask that question, and thank you for your answer. I want to state that, as I said, ROPA 28 moving forward, moving on the employment, increasing that on our assessment. What I don't support is the regional council motion that led to where we are. I think it turns the 40 years of history that this region has enjoyed in cooperative partnership and turned it upside down. And that is a sad, sad day for all of Peel. Yet that is where we are. I certainly didn't support facilitation. And I will be honest and open. From a principal position, I cannot support the minutes of settlement. I believe that this additional planning process doesn't respect the traditional planning process locally and regionally that traditionally the Region of Peel and its lower tier municipalities have enjoyed using. And I think this is simply because a party did not like the result of our BRES process. And I think, for myself, it sets a bad precedent when someone who is unhappy, a party who is unhappy with the result, can totally change the way a region functions. And in my mind, when I read the minutes of settlement, add an element to the process that was never there before. Councillor DeBoer talked about that through this, the BRES process will be reviewed. If it were just a review, and I would have expected the region to do that, to take our BRES application and review it internally, stakeholders, maybe even a consultant to review it. But as I read the minutes of settlement, I'm quoting, it will, amongst other things, give appropriate consideration to. That is very different than a review, and I am fearful of that. I hope that I'm wrong and that BRES stands the test of time and pops out as we expected it to at the end. I fear that will be aggressively challenged and attempted to be overturned. And I support BRES as our staff have presented it, and I fear that this is what is underway. It is for these reasons, Mr. Mayor, that I cannot support the minutes of settlement. I wish we could break out ROPA 28, because I support it going forward. Those are my thoughts. Thank you very much.
Councillor Befford.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I think what Councillor Mazzapelli just had to say reinforces what my comments are. I won't reiterate what has been said about ROPAs and about BRES. What I will say, it's been one of the most challenging issues as an area councillor. We have not been privy to what's happened in camera at the region. What we have been privy to is excellent staff and professionalism through our planning department and our legal department who have come back every step of the way and have given us a chance to pepper them with questions and to try to solve some of the things that Councillor Mazzapelli has just talked about. And I guess I narrow it down to two things. I'm supportive of this particular motion with two concerns. One has to do with BRES, and I've listened to Councillor Mazzapelli extremely intently, and I know his passion for the BRES situation. But I believe I have enough confidence in what our legal department has said to know that we will come through this process and get what Councillor Mazzapelli wants. The other part of what I don't really like is that for the first time in my career on this council, I don't have faith in the regional council down in Brampton to make the decisions that are for us as a group, Brampton, Mississauga, and Caledon, but are rather for them. And I'm very concerned. I would think that my mind says that some of the councillors have lessons learned over the last 2 or 3 months, and that they will start to realize that some of the angst they have caused are to be set aside, and they've got to give some trust to Caledon about what we do. I appreciate what Councillor Mazzapelli has to say, and I wish I could say I'll vote his way and hope that everything goes well, but I'll support this motion with the understanding that when the region talks confidently about what's happened at the Brez and supports it, I'll come back and buy him a drink. I would request... You didn't say those things. He did. I would request a recorded vote.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Councillor Bedford, for your comments. I just wanted to add one more thing, and this is an extremely important comment. Councillor Ennis touched on it, and I believe it absolutely as well, that although I do not support the minutes of settlement, and it's such a sad day that it's ceremonial at best. It doesn't matter what we do. The region has decided for us. Again, I believe that's precedent setting. Is that I want, I'm assuming that the minutes of settlement get endorsed by this council, or if it didn't, that we would aggressively participate in the process. We know what's happening. Similarly to how we did in facilitation, we didn't want to be there, but we knew when our voice wasn't heard, when our expert opinion and our staff were there, that their voices weren't heard. So absolutely, I want the public to know that as much as I don't support the minutes of settlement for the reasons that I've stated, I absolutely support this town participating in that process. We need to be there. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's it for the questions. And what I want to first of all say as we go forward is I really respect my council's input, and they've researched it and have done their homework, and I thank you for that. But the one challenge that we do have, it's great with all of us on principle, would like to look at where we need to go on this. But that was given up when we went to facilitation or when you go to the board. And I got to tell you, I am extremely proud of Chris Barnett. Thank you. Mary Hall, thank you. You went on. You stood strong. You held your ground. And I think we came out with a fair settlement for what we had to deal with. This is reality is what's on the board. So the big thing is Councillor Bedford, I thank you for asking for a recorded vote. And I will ask Council now to make their decision when the clerk calls the vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote's been called, so all those in favor, please stand. I see that Councillor Shaughnessy, Councillor McClure, Mayor Thompson, Councillor Bedford, Councillor Downey, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Groves are in favor. All those opposed, please stand. Councillor Mazzapelli, Councillor Innes, the motion carries.
So what has this vote achieved? Number one, the employment lands in ROPA 28 are status quo. Number two, the town's residential application will move forward. And number three, perhaps our biggest win, is that we all stood for openness. Transparency is exactly as what's happened in our town of Caledon community expects of us. Thank you, everybody. We'll now move on to our delegations.
Wow, I guess on my life over here.
Okay, so now we're going to go back to our delegations on the sheet. Anthony Rosa, Stage Academy Theater Association, Performing Arts Facility. Tony, if you just, we're just going to give people a few minutes here to clear the room, and sure. Then if you don't mind. And
no problem at all.
You know show business, you can.
Yeah.
Have you got a song and dance routine?
No problem, the show will go on, not an issue.
Okay. So, Tony, like all our delegations, you have 10 minutes, but I'm sure you'll manage that okay. So,
thank you very much.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to let you go ahead. I think everybody's left the room here now. So,
thank you so much, everyone. I'd like to introduce myself officially. I'm Antonio Rosa. I'm the president of Stage Academy Theater Association. We operate out of the Bolton area. We are a community theater organization focusing on educational theater for youth. One of our mandates is to advocate for the arts in the community and to work in partnership with other arts organizations to strengthen the arts identity, especially here in Caledon. So I thank you very much for having me here this afternoon as an opportunity to present my proposal for an arts center for Caledon. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to meet with you today. This has been work that I've been focusing on for about 18 months now in collaboration with other arts partners, membership in my own organization, and we're we're very excited about being able to give you an overview of what we're proposing for Caledon. The presentation I'm going to make today deals with fulfilling a need in our community. Clearly, it is a need in our community so that we can foster the arts and culture, that we can create an arts identity, a stronger arts identity here at home in Caledon, that we can strengthen the gaps so that the arts are represented just like all other areas of recreation here in Caledon. And this is truly a proposal that focuses on partnerships in Caledon. It is in response to your visioning exercise from 2015, a few months back. And from that visioning exercise that I actively participated in, some of the things we were challenged and we were asked to do as a community was to come forward and participate in innovative community-driven projects. That was one of the recommendations. To be part of creating a change in the way we operate and do business, and more importantly, to enable local partnerships. And this is what my plan will do. We'll address those three points that came out of that visioning exercise. When we look at unique partnerships in the community, to make an arts center a reality in this town, we really need for these partners to come together. Here's a list of active partners that I have already been in touch with, that I have already been constantly in communication with, that are willing to come to the table. So the local arts organizations, the local businesses, the Town of Caledon's Recreation Department, which now has sort of a mandate to include the arts and culture in their department, to reinstate the Caledon Arts Council that would strengthen identity here in town, and more importantly, to be an active partner for all the user groups. Headwaters Tourism, Headwaters Arts, which I've had some extensive conversations with around this project, the local school boards, and more importantly, the local residents, the artists that live here in Caledon, who play such an important part in the artistic development of our town, and having them engaged in this project is really what this is all about. I would like to move forward with discussing a location that has been identified in Bolton for this project. We have a partner, a developer, who is prepared to build a brand new state-of-the-art arts facility in town. This building is ready to go. It will be purposely built for this purpose. It will be meeting today's standards. I think when we're looking at creating a facility for the town, for local residents' use, a public building for Caledon, it needs to meet certain standards. It needs to be in an area where local hospitality and tourism partners will actively participate in what we're trying to do. And I'm really pleased to present that I have had conversations with some of those local partners, including the Hampton Inn, Caesars Events Center, and all the local restaurants surrounding the site, who would really be part of creating packages and theater experiences that include hospitality as well for this project. Local neighboring communities as well, because this location would be accessible from communities surrounding it, Kleinberg and Nobleton and North Brampton, who could also come into Caledon, come into our community to support and witness some of the arts that we would be showcasing. And this would provide an opportunity to bring people to our town. What I'm asking is for us to think very uniquely, rather than building a facility that the town of Caledon would be solely responsible for, is to enter a long-term lease agreement in this particular facility that we could look at a plan that allows us to operate a performing arts center in a local facility over a long-term lease period. And we have a proposal as part of our plan that looks at approximately a 20-year lease agreement, which we could go into further if we decide to move forward in discussing this. This type of project will clearly impact social and economic development in Caledon. It will provide growth opportunities for our businesses. It will provide unique partnership opportunities, which we have been challenged to do here in Caledon from that visioning exercise. It will create growth opportunities in the areas of tourism and hospitality, which has been included in your tourism strategies for 2014. I looked at that document as well. It is in line with what we are trying to accomplish. It will offer employment growth. It will offer opportunities to develop future arts festivals and events here in our town that integrate the arts and culture in our community, which we were also called to do in that visioning exercise. But more important, the most important part of my presentation is keeping the arts here in Caledon. Finding a balance. I'm very passionate about keeping them here in town, because for many years I've had to bring my students and our community theater group outside of Caledon to showcase our program. We've had to use facilities in other municipalities, and that has been a real challenge in trying to run something here in town, and then at the end of it, it's like you're preparing for the big show, and in the end we're sharing that with another municipality, because we just don't have this type of facility available to the citizens here. My project and the research that I can back will be that this is a cost recovery project. I want everyone to keep in mind that when we are looking at this proposal, that we're not looking at an investment that will eventually just, you know, we're going to pay for this facility and it's done. This is something that will generate revenues. We can look at provincial and federal grants that are currently available that we can access as a town, as arts organizations in town, to bring funding for this project. We can look at local donations and sponsorships, especially from the user groups. Like, for example, my group, being one of them, would be very willing to work on a sponsorship initiative for this a project. And I've spoken to many of the other groups, and they would be willing to do the same. A local facility sponsor, someone who'd like to slap their name on the front of the building and be that facility sponsor, who would like to see a partnership with a business who could also advocate for the arts and support it financially. Fundraising opportunities within the town. And really one of the things that would be really important to note is the theater revenues. Once this facility is operating, one of the things that it'll do is it'll generate funds from permits, from user groups that are going to be using the facility, from rentals, from sales, from commissions on ticket sales, and so on. I have a plan that proves that when we achieve 50% occupancy in a facility like this, we will not only cover the costs of the entire operation, we'll actually turn a profit. I'd be happy to share that business plan with you in the future. The other thing that it'll do is it'll create annual user groups making commitments to Caledon. I would like to bring back our productions to our local community. I'm tired of having other municipalities make profits off of our talents here in Caledon. So bringing us back to our community, where we will invest our dollars back here in Caledon. One of the things I found also in my research is that most of the theaters that are operating in smaller communities, some of them, for example, I did some research out in Newmarket and out in Brampton as well. I did some research in Thornhill. They're charging what's called a capital improvement fund on every single ticket sold for their venue. That capital improvement fund, the couple of dollars they charge per ticket, goes into a fund to improve the facility, to improve the capital investment in the facility. As we move forward in the future, you'll always want to keep this facility up and running. You'll need an improvement plan, and there will be funds built right into that. So you're sort of fundraising as time goes on. I'm asking today for this to become a reality in Caledon. I like setting attainable goals. It's the way I conduct myself in my personal life. It's the way I conduct myself in my professional life. And it's the way I conduct myself as a member of this community. And when I'm standing here in front of you today, I have a plan that could realistically, attainably have this ready opening in 2018. I say that confidently. It's an attainable goal. I have the plan that could prove that. I have consultants ready, theater consultants ready to step in whenever we ever give them a call, who will take a look at the plan and be able to say that the facility that we're looking, that we've identified, would be an appropriate place and usage for this type of project. I have a business plan ready to come forward, finalized by February 2016. It's almost there. The only reason why I say February 2016 is because I'd like some of your staff involved in the finalizing of this plan. I challenged the Recreation Department to become involved in the plan as well and to take a look at what I'm going to propose for this community and decide whether it's something that's in line with the recommendations that were part of the visioning statement. I'm asking the town of Caledon, the councillors here, the mayor's office, Park, the Recreation Department, to become active partners in this project because it's really important that we work together to bring this arts facility to Caledon. It's not going to happen. This is not the Tony Rosa show. This is going to be a real, active community partnership with everyone at the table to make it a reality. Why am I here? Well, I'm speaking on behalf of all of the arts advocates in this town, all of the arts organizations. We value the arts in Caledon. It's something that is very clear amongst the citizens of this town, and I have the action plan ready to make it happen. It's the motivating factor. An arts center for Caledon will create a place to gather for our community, a place to showcase talents, a place to explore the arts, a place to develop artistic skill for our youth, and even senior citizens. I'm going to be honest, I get so many calls from senior citizens who are now retired saying, can we form not only a youth educational theater program, can we get something for seniors to do? I would love to teach that class. It would be phenomenal. We just need a facility to make that happen. A place to develop artistic skill, a place for families and friends to share time, quality family, community time, a place for artists, and there are many of them living and embedded in our community, a place for artistic expression, a place where we share our talents with the community, where we are proud of the accomplishments of local artists, a place for cultural experiences. In that visioning statement, it talked about the expansion of sharing our culture and arts in our community. This is a place where we can make it happen. And more importantly, a place for local entertainment. What's wrong with staying in town on a Saturday evening, having a great dinner at a local restaurant, and seeing some of our local artists perform? It really does create that arts and culture awareness in town. In your visioning exercise, I wrote this quote down. I thought it was a very powerful quote presented by one of the consultants who said, Caledon, I challenge you to be the change that you wish to see the world. I said, well, the change I'm looking for is a future home for the arts in Caledon, a place that will take all of these things and put it under one roof. It can be a reality. I thank everyone who has worked on this type of initiative in the past. I know there's been a lot of talk over the years about this type of facility in Caledon. And I know that there's been a lot of work and a lot of heart in the past about this, and that their committees were formed and discussions were had. And I applaud and I thank those people for their hard work. I think it's time to move away from the talk, and it's time to move into the plan to bring it to Caledon and make it a reality. I thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Tony. I got a couple of questions for you, and I got to say you did run over our time a little bit, but I deducted that from Glenn Schnarr and Manish Dave here, so they give you the time because I didn't want to
interrupt. That was called the encore in the performance.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Tony, for your presentation. Very, very good presentation. You've done a lot of research. You've certainly hit all of the points that is valuable to this community. I just want to recognize as well in our audience a couple of individuals that were part of the Arts Advisory Committee in the last term of council, and they have done quite a bit of work as well. And that's Wynne Miller-Hay. She's sitting at the back of the room, and pardon me for pointing you guys out, but I think that it's worth recognizing what you've done.
Absolutely.
4 years ago. And Tina Daldrop, thank you, Tina, for all of your hard work and all your efforts. We started in your kitchen, if you remember. A bunch of us got together in your kitchen, started to talk about the arts in Caledon and how valuable the arts is in Caledon. And we also, going back to the seniors, many years ago, the seniors were looking at expanding their facility to include a theater for live theater. Unfortunately, it wasn't financially feasible for them to move ahead, and therefore could not move forward. But I'm glad to see that this didn't die, that it is still alive. I think it is important that arts and culture become part of a community or form part of the community. A lot of the focus we've given in terms of recreation is sports, hockey, soccer, lacrosse, baseball, you name it. That's the sort of recreation we've been focused on. So I think it's time that we recognize that there is another type of recreation, which is the arts. We do have a School of the Arts in Caledon, Mayfield School of the Arts. We have St. Mike's as well that runs an excellent program over there. So we need to bring this together. We have Sky Sweetnam, who is performing all over the world, and she is a Caledon resident, born and raised in Caledon. So, Tony, I think that this is a good thing moving forward. Some of the points that you touched on is really the economics, promoting Caledon. We talk about tourism. This is a great way to promote tourism in Caledon. So this way, we're not just a drive-through community, we're not just a bedroom community, but we can actually promote tourism, where the tourism dollars are going to help our economy, to grow the economy. We've got a hotel. We need to keep that hotel booked. We need to keep all the restaurants busy. We need to keep all of the stores busy. We need to keep our dollars here. Mm-hmm. Not only would we keep our residents here, but we will be bringing those residents from other communities, and they will be spending their money in Caledon as opposed to us spending our money outside. So I think that, and as the mayor, in the mayor's levy, I believe the mayor had announced at his levy that this was part of his mandate, part of the mandate of Caledon, is to look at arts and culture and how we can have a real live theater in our community so that these performances, and we've got some great performers here in Caledon, and we've got some great artists here in Caledon, and we need to showcase those individuals. We need to showcase our talent and grow our local talent right here in our backyards. So I thank you, Tony. I'm not sure, Mayor Thompson, where we go with this, but if it's direction through to staff to look at this through a budget process, because I'm sure that does have some impact on where we go with it, I would be happy to move that direction or give that direction to staff that we continue to look at this and how we can make it happen. And it is a partnership, and this is the perfect time for you to come in and talk about these sorts of things, because the town of Caledon is in the process right now of developing those partnerships, looking at partnerships, because we don't have enough dollars to make, whether it's the arts center or the indoor soccer or another hockey arena or whatever it is that we're looking at doing, we don't have enough dollars to go it alone. We need the collaboration, we need the partnership of those individuals in our community who have the dollars that are able to help us build those partnerships. So I think this is great timing. It's certainly part of the exercise in our master recreation plan. And moving forward, I'm excited about this. I think this is a great thing. We can get Hills of Headwaters involved, and we can get all of these partners involved, get the community involved. And finally, Mr. Chair, I would ask, with respect to the individuals that were on that advisory committee, that we reach out to them and we let them know this is what we're doing, this is where we're going, and certainly encourage the partnerships and the participation of those individuals and their input, because they did do a lot of work. They gave a lot of their time in the past, and I think it's only fair to just send them a little note and say, this is what's happening, and this is what we've been doing, and this is where we're going, following on the foundation they laid.
So your question?
No, I don't have any questions. I'm just commenting.
Thank you for your comments.
Well, I did ask the question about what we do next. Do we give direction or so? Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Downey?
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Tony, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
I have to now come up with a question because I don't really have one. What I wanted to say was you had me at partnerships. I don't even know you, but I love you. I think that's great. We need more residents that are willing to give up 18 months of their time, their own time, to investigate partnerships, build relationships. That's fantastic. So I guess the question is, what will this look like, and how can we support it?
It will be an active partnership that will include local businesses, a local business partner who would develop the shell for us. It would have local arts organizations included that would become annual user groups of the facility, making a financial investment as well. It would include partners here in the town of Caledon, which would be through our Parks and Recreation Department and through the town of Caledon, all coming together to approve a plan that would basically allow us to ask for funding through grants and other local partners to do the leasehold improvements of this facility. The shell will be there. It's ready to go. I've had conversations with the architects. I've had conversations with the developer, and this facility is ready to go. If we are serious about a project like this, all of these partners will come to the table and play an integral part in bringing it to Caledon, making it a reality. It's not going to be a Town of Caledon initiative. It's going to be an initiative that is partially the Town of Caledon and partially local arts organizations and businesses as well.
Okay, so I guess then I would redirect my question to our staff and through you, Mayor Thompson, what we need to do to be sitting at that table, or what direction is needed from council to have the Town of Caledon at that table.
Ms. Johnson,
or Jill Clerk.
Okay, she's dumped it to you.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you for the question, Councillor Downey. What we really need today is, because there are budget implications to this, I'd like to propose that we bring this back through our budget process, and that's really all that we need staff to start working on.
Okay, Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. And we're not going to debate whether we support culture and the arts, because we all do. Mm-hmm. But the other question, and it's a follow-up to Councillor Downey's, is what do you foresee, because you're well into the process, what do you see as the financial obligation for this community, and then where's the location?
Okay, the location that we have identified is in Bolton. It is right next to the current Caesars Event Center. It is the sister building that is going to be built directly behind the Caesars Event Center on George Bolton Boulevard. Building is an excellent location based on the research that we have done, because it allows for opportunities to develop packages with the local restaurants, the hotel, and the event center. When you're trying to put this type of project forward, to sustain it, you really do need those active partners. You need to be able to build packages that would include accommodations and meals and weekend stays and so on for it to sustain itself. So the location basically is a brand new building that has been approved already for its construction. The shell will be designed and built to the purpose of a performing arts center, and then we as the town would be looking for local partners and government grants at the provincial and also at the federal level to do the leasehold improvements. So to actually to create the studio spaces inside, the theater spaces, the visual arts spaces, the dance space, and so on. And I've had conversations with the developer's architect, and we've actually looked at whether or not this space was feasible to do those types of facilities within it. And it was very positive conversations around, yes, that it could work, it would definitely work. So it's about raising funds, making to create the physical studio spaces within this facility, and entering a long-term lease agreement over the next 20 years for this location. I have a proposal in my plan of an extremely reasonable lease rate that is being put on the table. And when we compare it to the rates that are out there in that local community, I've been able to do a study. And the proposal is a 10-year plus an additional 10-year option, and that we could go in there and operate, and that we could have these facilities readily available for our citizens.
Okay, so is that behind the original Caesars or the new Caesars?
I'm sorry?
Is it behind the original Caesars or the new one?
It's behind the existing one.
The new one.
The new one. It'll be the new one.
Okay,
absolutely.
There's two, right?
Yeah, there are two. The one I'm talking about is directly behind. And,
okay.
And one of the benefits of having it so close is the opportunity maybe to do things like dinner theaters and banquets, and more importantly, to market the facility during the week as a conference opportunity for businesses to be able to bring their conferences to Caledon. We have a hotel, we have a meeting facility, and we have a banquet facility, all kind of working in partnership together to attract business conferences. That's where the real money is. It's certainly not going to come from ticket sales from my children's theater group. But when we look at what we can do to build the revenues, you'll want to market it as a multi-use facility.
Okay, and the only comment I can make is Councillor Groves mentioned the School of the Arts, Mayfield, and St. Michael's.
Yes.
I'm kind of biased to Robert F. Hall.
Of course, who also have an incredible arts program. And when I put in my presentation school boards, I would be inviting all of those schools to participate. Our goal is to make sure that every one of them become an annual user group in the facility, because that's really what generates the revenues, is when you have ongoing commitments from user groups that will come back year after year after year. I'm going to share a story with you, and I think this is really important in closing to your question, is that, for example, right now we really wanted to give our students here in the community an opportunity to perform in a theater. We finally got a theater in Brampton to say okay, because we were on a waiting list. And we waited and waited for months for them to say, yes, it's okay to use our facility, because we don't have anybody else from Brampton or in our local community wanting it on the weekend that you want it. So we were kind of, it was sort of the take-home prize, right? I'm telling you that everybody would come back. The dance studios would come back. The music studios would come back. The schools of the arts would come back. We want to have the opportunity to do our work here in Caledon.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think Clark wants to know if you can fit in the Clark's Talent Night there, too. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Mr. Rosen, for
your
presentation. I want to thank you mostly for your passion. Councillor Downey talked about it, and it's absolutely evident. I know that we have met a few times, and it comes across immediately. And so thank you for that, because it's that type of passion and commitment that translates into amazing things happening.
Right.
The additional benefit is we are at a moment in time in Caledon's history where never before has, we've always recognized that arts and culture has been there. We've got the talent, we've got the desire, but it's never been formally recognized to the point now where under the Parks and Recreation section, it is actually going to be part of their mandate.
Absolutely.
So timing, I think, is perfect. To marry your passion with the formality on the town side that I think allows great things to happen. And although not a question, much to the chagrin of the clerk, I would suggest that as these conversations go forward, because one thing I've learned very quickly being in this position is it's easy to say these are the pieces of the puzzle and we can move ahead. in a corporation, a public corporation, there are a whole lot of other stakeholders that need to be consulted. And I certainly support formally getting into conversations to pursue this endeavor, is that those parties, it may be planning or zoning or building, they get drawn into the conversation because that provides the more fulsome background upon which we need to look at this, and it will largely dictate how this process moves forward. So I just wanted to kind of bring it up to a higher level because right. all those parties will have to speak to this exercise.
And that is the reason why we're asking Caledon, the town of Caledon, to become active partners in this project, because we do really need the expertise of the staff here at the town to work in collaboration on creating the final plan.
Okay. And the question I have
yep.
is, you talk about the business plan
yep.
that is imminent as mm-hmm. far as its availability. Mm-hmm. Does it clearly already put out, this is what we expect from the town, this is what we would expect from the school boards, this is what we would expect from the business community or, mm-hmm. or grants? Or does it say, we want to engage all these partners and figure out what those requests would be, whether that be a gift in kind or financial or whatever? Is that still to be determined, or do you have that business plan set out?
Some of that needs to be determined, but in preliminary stages, we have put together a plan of how everyone could contribute to the goal
okay.
and what we would be looking for from everyone. There's definitely talk of that, and it is addressed in the business plan. But the problem is, until you have the players at the table to actually present to them what we're looking for, exactly. It's very hard to make a final decision on that, because you know we're looking for the town of Caledon to be an active partner in this, but we also need to have a better understanding of what is available here at the town of Caledon. What are the resources? What are the financial backings that is available to make that work? But I'm very confident at this point that all of those pieces to that puzzle will be addressed on what everyone needs to do to make this a reality, and it is embedded in the plan.
Right, and then my final comment would be, then I look forward to these conversations being had, engaging all the partners, and having that formalized plan come back
correct.
Before this council, where we can really see what it's going to look like.
Absolutely. That would be the next stage.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen.
Thank you.
Councillor Bufford.
Thank you very much, and I'll concur your enthusiasm. Great idea. I would like to comment that your sphere of influence goes beyond Bolton. Many of the issues that you've talked about or mm-hmm. the groups that you've talked about, whether it be Headwaters Arts mm-hmm. or others, are yep. based quite a ways away from Bolton.
Correct.
They're out in Alton Mill. We also have the Caledon Town Hall Players. We have
correct.
The Englewood Players.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people with artistic studios in their homes.
Right.
So my comment and question is, would you please make sure that you consider and include those groups as to how they could fit into this overall scheme,
absolutely.
Which takes in more than just one area.
And that is actually an excellent question and a comment. Thank you very much. And we have addressed that in our plan as well, is that when we are looking at this facility as a destination for Caledon, in part of our plan will prove that we've put together some very unique packages for people who want to come, for example, for a weekend to Caledon to experience the arts here. It will include maybe a performance on a Saturday evening, let's say at the theater, and stops at other locations in Caledon as well to witness the arts that are available amongst the community. So we are really going to encourage the other active artists in this community to come and join forces with us in creating an opportunity to showcase what we have here in Caledon to the greater public outside in our community, and more importantly outside of the community, bringing people here. So you know, that's really what some of the other art locations have. For example, if you take a look at Stratford, it's really built on that. Niagara-on-the-Lake is very much built on that philosophy. So we definitely want to create opportunities, events and festivals that when we have user groups coming into town, or we have individuals participating in arts events, that we will create that sort of tour of Caledon's arts, if you will, that will include stops in other communities as well. And if we do that, we strengthen the arts awareness across the entire town. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McClure. the starring actor here.
Yes, thanks for your presentation. You're just one look at you, and I wouldn't think you were into the arts. I was thinking of a very attractive girl, but you're passionate. Your presentation is really good, and most of the questions I was going to ask have already been asked. But you already have the land. Somebody's going to build this for you.
We have a commitment by a local developer to build the shell to the specifications required for an art center, a purposely built facility.
Okay, then. One thing I got, have you ever thought of naming rights? Because think of the Rogers Center, the Bell Center, this could call.
Well, that's definitely part of my presentation and looking for a facility sponsor, someone who we could put their name on the building and they would help support it financially as well. That's definitely part of the plan.
Well, I'm not into singing and dancing, but I'm interested. This sounds like it would attract people to the town. I'm excited about it. You surprisingly, you've got me interested.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the support. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. Just as we're sitting here conversing and listening to all the different comments, a question popped to my mind, and I'm wondering, obviously you have engaged in a partnership and you have willing parties ready to construct and build, and that's fantastic. But as the conversation goes forward and you bring partners to the table, would there be consideration to look at other sites? Not necessarily outside of Bolton, but maybe in the downtown core.
I mean, there's always that consideration. I was asked. I'm bringing forward a proposal with a brand new state-of-the-art facility, and I think that that's really an important part when you're developing a theater or a performing arts or an arts facility. You will need something that meets today's standards. So something brand new, 2016, built and designed to meet the requirements of what we would need to make this happen based on my research, is the best option. That is the reason why I'm asking for a theater consultant to play an important role in the next steps to basically say, you know, the plan that you've put into action requires this type of facility, and these are the reasons why. You know, when you're thinking about an arts center and all of the technology that goes along with it, a real state-of-the-art facility is going to be key in reaching the goal.
I agree completely, and I would be interested to hear what that consultant has to say.
Absolutely.
Just based on the address that you gave us, that is designated industrial.
Yes.
Or just commercial or employment land. So after we just spent however many hours talking about our planning and the use of our employment lands, that would be something to consider. Thank you.
Yeah. Tony, I have no more questions for you, but the one thing I will say is I thank you for your passion and your vision, and I think what you've done is you've laid out the bones and you got the meat on it. We just need to finish the rest of it.
Absolutely.
So I think you're on a... But can I ask you one question?
Please do.
Sports Hall of Fame, and I am really disappointed in both two of my area councillors not bringing this up. We've been trying to find a home to land that. Mm-hmm. Could that be considered part of the process?
In the plan as well, the term fame is very interesting because it really does connect to the arts as well, and recognizing the accomplishments of individuals in our town. We can definitely look at including those type of, museum, or it comes to mind, or showcases. We are showcasing individuals who have accomplished things in Caledon. That is part of our mandate to showcase. And if we needed to look at a location that could showcase the accomplishments of individuals in our town, whether it be sports or any other areas that they may be passionate about or have been involved in, that we would definitely like to include that in our plan. I think that you're bringing people to a public building. What a great way to showcase the accomplishments and the history here in Caledon. It's a multi-use facility. That's the idea. The more usages have, the more people that will come and the more people that will support the initiative.
Okay, I think I've heard enough. Tony, thank you so much. I heard from my council as well. So I'm going to ask the CEO if you can just direct staff to proceed to look into this, find out what we're what the next steps are. We've got budget, we've got a lot of work plan, we've got a lot of things moving. So I'm going to direct the CEO to proceed forward to see what it's not going to cost us anything. Let's take a look at it. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I will call on our next delegation, Jean Carberry, Proposed Heritage Conservation District Area. Authority. Area, isn't it? Or is it authority?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for this opportunity to speak about the proposal to designate downtown Bolton as a heritage conservation district. I know you've heard from the cheering sections in favour of the proposal. I'd just like to present the opposite view. I speak from the point of view of a commercial property owner only. I would not try to impose my views on residential owners. Make no mistake, the issues are very different. The draft plan presented to you by the ERA architect firm speaks rather patronizingly about education and dispelling myths about heritage conservation districts. I would like to dispel a few myths of my own. Myth number one, that the proposal has strong support from the Downtown Bolton BIA. Unfortunately, the previous Board of Management of the BIA, which included some members who were not owners of commercial property, supported and may have helped instigate the move to designate Downtown Bolton as an HCD. At the election earlier this year, a new board was elected. When I was elected chair of the board, I did not presume to take a position on behalf of the BIA on such an important matter without canvassing my membership. A questionnaire was circulated to commercial property owners in the Downtown Bolton area. The results were sent to all councillors earlier this summer. And as you may have observed, of those who responded, 60% were opposed to the proposal, 32% were undecided, and only 8% were in favour. Of those who were undecided, a number expressed concern about the effect on their property values and the increase in red tape and bureaucracy that would result. Another very telling statistic that came out of the results of the questionnaire is that of those opposed, only some advised the amount of their assessment, but of those who did advise, at least $21 million of assessment base is represented. In other words, a group of people and companies who collectively have invested considerable resources in downtown Bolton are opposed to this proposal. Peter Stewart of the George Robb architect firm, who reported to the town of Caledon in 2008, noted that heritage conservation districts work best when they have the support of local owners, and this only makes sense. I suggest that the survey has shown that insofar as the commercial core is concerned, the support of owners is just not there. Myth number two, that heritage conservation designations do not have a negative effect on property values. This, of course, is an oft-expressed concern. And we are told the Shipley report should dispel our fears. The Shipley research was done by the Architectural Conservancy Ontario, Community Heritage Ontario, and the Heritage Resources Centre at the University of Waterloo. The research was conducted largely by volunteers, not trained researchers, from these agencies and was supervised by the director of the Heritage Resources Centre. Hardly unbiased research, I should have thought. But nevertheless, I have studied it quite carefully. The first report was all about residential areas, so it is of no help at all when we come to the commercial core. Phases 1 and 2 of the next round, completed in 2013, included commercial properties, but the samplings were, for the most part, too small to support any meaningful conclusion. For example, Coburg, King Street East, Only 9 of 130 commercial properties had sales histories that could be studied. 3 showed above average increases, 1 was average, and 5 were below. In Orangeville, which is often quoted as being the most comparable center to Bolton, there they managed to study 8 out of 64 commercial properties. Of those, 4 scored above average, 1 was average, and 3 were below. I will not bore you with any more examples, but they are mostly like that. In spite of these unimpressive numbers, the authors of the report have seen fit to pronounce that HCDs are successful and do not negatively impact property values. If you press the planners on the point, as I have, they will admit that the research, insofar as commercial property is concerned, is inconclusive. Michael McClellan, a partner in the ERA architects firm, was quoted in the Toronto Star recently as saying that studies on how heritage status affects property values are not conclusive. Aside from the research, real estate brokers and lawyers, I am a real estate lawyer, see what's going on. Buyers are seeking assurances that there is no heritage designation, and sellers feel that they must disclose it if it exists. I have a true story about Bolton. A store on Queen Street in the heart of downtown Bolton is for sale. The owner has told me that at least 2 prospective buyers, on being told that an HC designation was pending, were no longer interested. One of those prospective buyers, quite by coincidence, recounted the same story to me. She was very interested in the store, but now is no longer. The supreme irony is that that individual planned a store retailing chocolate products and high-end gifts, exactly the kind of store I suggest that you find in HCD districts throughout the province, and which by itself would have attracted shoppers from far beyond Bolton, and also would have attracted other retailers around her. Exactly the kind of store that would have contributed to the revitalization of downtown Bolton, but now will not be coming to Bolton anytime soon. An anecdote, yes, but it actually happened in Bolton in the past few weeks, and I suggest illustrates and bears out our fears of reduction in property values. Myth number 3, that downtown Bolton's commercial core is even suitable for designation as a heritage conservation district. Peter Stewart of the George Robb Architects firm, I referred to earlier, reported to this council in 2008, and I quote, was of the opinion that downtown Bolton did not display the concentration and significance of cultural heritage resources required to be considered as a potential heritage conservation district. He was asked to recommend areas in Caledon that might be suitable, and he recommended several, including the King Street West residential part of Bolton, but not the downtown commercial core. I would add, there's little or no tourism potential in Bolton or surroundings that would attract people to the area. For that, you need a truly vibrant shopping area to attract people. Myth number 4, that a heritage conservation designation will not add to the red tape and bureaucracy involved in developing a property. The planners would have us believe that it will add only a very thin layer of further approvals. If it's such a small planning control, why does it need such voluminous reports, months of consultation, and at the end, a specific bylaw registered on each and every property in the area? And this is on top of all the other planning controls that already exist. I would challenge you, before making up your minds and voting on this matter, insist that the planners demonstrate to you exactly how an HCD designation will streamline or even slightly improve the process of permissions to build and renovate. I suggest that they cannot simply because there will be no change to the existing cumbersome process. Myth number five, that you need a HCD designation in order to preserve whatever heritage value Bolton may have. I only suggest that you look at the official plan. Section 7.3, Bolton Core Secondary Plan, and in particular 737, which provides numerous controls for conservation of heritage features within the Bolton Core. One thought, because the residential owners seem so strongly in favor, why not separate their areas from the commercial core? This is in effect what Rob Architect recommended to you when they identified the King Street West residential area as suitable, but not the downtown core. It would involve the planners going back to the drawing board, but I would suggest to you that that could be done, and I would suggest that that may be a viable alternative that would please everyone. At the end of the day, I think we all want a revitalized and vibrant core for downtown Bolton. But in view of likely expansion of residential subdivisions around Bolton, the downtown is in danger of becoming more and more irrelevant. We need to attract people with resources, hard work, and vision to develop an urban area that people will want to visit and spend money in. We need more residential development downtown, encourage foot traffic, incentives, and make easier the planning processes to encourage development. Adding on a heritage conservation designation is not going to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Groves? Question?
Yep. Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Jean, thank you for coming forward and for delegating and talking about some of the concerns from those folks in the downtown core. Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Ms. Drummond. We've heard these concerns over the last few months in the moving forward with the HCD study. How do you plan on addressing it? I think one of the things that Ms. Garberry touched on is how do we move forward in finding a balance and in ensuring that we can all sort of come together and find that balance. So the concerns that are being raised here today, how do we do that? Because I'm at a loss. I don't know how. So I'm looking to you as the expert who's leading this. How do we do that?
Here, Ms. Hall.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Groves. We're still in the process. You do have this delegation here today, and this delegation and the individual has been actively involved. We have been hearing her concerns regularly. Ms. Drummond is fully aware of them. I understand that at the last public meeting that we held, there was some discussion about how we should be reviewing this process on a regular basis. And that was put forward at that public meeting. We believe as staff at this point in time with the information that has been provided to us that this is a good thing to be doing, that we should be recognizing this area as a HCD. There is a report that has been prepared and we are looking at bringing it forward possibly before the end of this year. For council for consideration. And at this point in time, we are still strongly recommending that the HCD should be recognized and that it would include the commercial and the residential component.
I hear you, Ms. Hall, and my question is, I understand that what the recommendation is, but my question is to those property owners who are concerned about property values and all the other things that Ms. Carberry raised, how are we going to deal with those?
Uh, You know, I'm just wondering, I know where it is the report coming forward? I think it's premature. Are you comfortable answering the question, or you think you better to have the report come forward? Means that
with all due respect, Mayor Thompson, we are going through a process, and I think that through the process, through the public process, is where we need to address all of these before that report comes forward. When the report comes forward, it is going to come with recommendations. So all I'm asking is that through the process, I believe that this is where we need to deal with this. And so I'm just asking, how are we prepared to deal with those? Ms. Carberry raised an important point. I don't remember who you said the consultant was. Peter
Stewart of Rob Architects.
Okay, so he made some comments. I don't know who he is. He made some comments. And all I'm asking is that we find a solution. That is all I'm asking.
I'm just wondering, it's tough putting them on the spot because
I'm
we don't have a court report or anything.
Report.
Yeah, so what I'm wondering, Councillor Groves, and I'm going to throw this out, is I'm wondering if with Ms. Carver and yourself and Councillor Mizzapelli and staff, let's get the right people in the room and let's have that conversation. I think would be far more productive because we're not going to get the answer that you're looking for
today. I agree with you, Mayor Thompson, and I think that's what I'm looking for.
Is that fair, Ms. Carver?
If I may just comment, I agree with what you said, and probably it's not fair, but it's my understanding that the matter is going to come to Council on December 8th for a decision as to whether I may be wrong in that.
Yeah.
You look puzzled. It was my understanding there was to be a vote on the issue on December 8th, which I would suggest now is greatly premature, given that a staff report is not coming till the end of the year.
Ms. Hall, what do you...
I have seen the report. It's in the system. That doesn't mean that it'll get to the December 8th meeting. It has to get through senior management and all types
That's
of reviews at this point in time. If council wants to direct us to have a meeting in advance of that report coming, then I would say that would be a challenge to do between now and December the 8th.
Mm-hmm. But I do agree with the mayor. I think we do need to sit down.
Have that discussion, see what you can do.
I'm not saying that. That's fine. I'm just saying
I think that's doable. Councillor Mizzapelli, you got a question?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. A couple of points, and I think, although not all may be questions, I think they're important to speak to the delegation. Thank you, Ms. Carberry, for coming. I do say it procedurally, and particularly on the heels of the suggestion of Councillor Groves, having an opportunity to delegate council when the report isn't before us and where other delegates who might want to speak to the same issue may not choose to have delegated because the report is not before council, I have a little concern with, because we're talking about managing the process when the report's not before us and those who may be in favor haven't been given the same opportunity and likely wouldn't choose to delegate today because it's the HCD is not before us. So I find that challenging and, quite frankly, a little bit inequitable. But here we are, and so I just wanted to speak to some of the issues you raised. And one of the things you talked about is the survey that the BIA did, and the results of that showed that the majority of businesses were not in favor. What I just wanted, again, just to provide the balance for the conversation to be had, at the previous PIM, which, quite honestly, I wish you had been there, and you know everybody's got life and can't always attend, but there was a petition signed by business and property owners in downtown Bolton, 24, that supported the HCD district. So I just want to express, and maybe you're not aware because you weren't present, that when you suggest that the BIA's survey suggested one thing, there was a petition by business and property owners in the core that suggested something entirely different, 24 actually of them. And one thing I think that's really important, and I said on the board with Jean, is when the report or the survey went out, And it's key to get that feedback back from those property owners, business owners, as to how they feel, is to get empower them with information. And one thing I suggested, and it wasn't approved, was to do a link to the town's website, to just to give the background information, which, as you stated, has things like the report from Peter Stewart and things like that. And it was challenging for me to have that not be communicated. More specifically to your delegation, Ms. Carberry, when you talked about Peter Stewart, you quoted that he said downtown Bolton did not display the concentration. So I'll be honest, I wasn't familiar with the report, but I did look it up. And what's interesting to note is that they looked at all of Caledon, all 44, there's villages, hamlets, ghost towns, they call them. And Bolton in its entirety made the short list of the nine. So that from the 44 of those that had significant cultural and cultural heritage, Bolton in its entirety made the list of nine. From there, they broke it down even further. And what he did say is, bear with me.
You know,
where they, no, it's important. It says may not. It said the Bolton Corps may not, and suggested further on in his report that further studies would be needed to be done to delineate the boundary. So I know it's not a question, Mayor Thompson, but I think it's important when information is coming here that I have the opportunity to provide the balance. Not because I have a different opinion, because in fact it's different than what was stated.
And so it's a point of clarification, and that's correct to do as well. So it's point of clarification and questions is what we're trying to do. It's just that I know the afternoon's climbing on. I still got delegations, so that's why I'm really hammering down. If you can, just fairness for everybody.
Fine. I have a lot of other comments. I will hold them to the report.
Sure.
I have one comment, Ms. Carberry.
Sure.
Is you suggested that you see the value on the residential side, but not so much for the commercial side. You see that potentially it could translate, HCDs could translate to an improvement in assessment on the residential side, but you're concerned about the commercial side. The question I have for you is, to me, I see them, if it's assessing value higher in an immediately adjacent residential community, how could it have the opposite effect in the adjacent commercial sector? I'm just wondering how you feel that there could be the benefit in King East, King West, but a negative effect in the commercial core.
Ms. Can Curry? I respond to all the comments?
Sure. Well, that's the big thing is just challenging back and forth.
I think it's perhaps a little unfair if I can't. There was a lot there that I would like to respond to. Okay, maybe just the last point. As I said at the outset, the concerns and the issues of residential owners and property owners and commercial property owners are quite different. People buy residences for different reasons than they buy commercial property. In a residential area, you want to be in a house that looks nice, in a neighborhood that looks nice, that there's consistency. A commercial property buyer is most likely looking to develop for a certain purpose. They may be buying it just as is to operate as it is, or they may be buying it, and more likely in a commercial area, buy it for some other purpose and they're going to want to do things with it. If your point was correct, then why is the Shipley research not as conclusive on the point of commercial property as it is on the point of residential property?
And my response is, I think that was asked at one of the meetings, and that they said there was a mix of commercial and residential properties that were included in that study.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Quite true.
Yeah. I think we need to have that off with the staff and the right people in the room and with what, because we don't have that here today. Councillor DeBoer, do you have a question? Yes.
One quick one.
Good.
Thanks, Jean. A lot of what you talked about is financial. Now, my question is, would your group accept if there was some sort of financial safeguards. And then I don't know whether within the HCD plan, whether that even permits to have something like that.
I'm not sure what you would mean by financial safeguards.
Well, if you're talking about a decrease in the value, that there's some way, some mechanism that would prohibit that from happening. If it would probably not happen, you'd have to find an appraiser, you'd have to go through a process. But if there was some sort of safeguards on the financial, because that's all you're talking about.
You'd have to look at the market, I suppose, and each individual property. And if I were to come up with evidence, where is the compensation coming from? The town of Caledon?
Well, I think if you read the report, I think there's a lot of comments that it might not be there. I think a lot of the we'll take that to the report. But
yeah,
I think that's
a
question.
I think there's a lot of questions. I think we need to deal with staff that we can't. Yeah. We don't have the expertise here.
But if
today.
We can, if that can be part of the information, I think when the staff report comes, are there heritage conservation districts that use a financial component of it, even for redevelopment, like the CIPs? Thanks.
Could I just make one about the process? I think Councillor Mezzapelli mentioned I'm here on a day when you're not voting on the issue. I thought it was being voted on the 8th. I'm not able to come. It's a morning meeting, I believe. That's why I asked to come 2 weeks before.
Thank you.
It seems to me there's a lot more discussion required before you make a final decision.
I think we're all fine in that. Councillor McClure, have you got a question?
Yes, thanks for your presentation. And thank you, Mr. Mayor, for giving me the opportunity. I always maybe think too much about money, but there's nothing wrong with that. If you find that property owners don't appreciate, I can see how if I bought a store in downtown Bolton, maybe I'd want to rip the darn thing down and make something new. And if I'm not allowed to do that, I wouldn't be doing that. And that's exactly what you've been telling us. I like heritage. I like old homes. But I'm not sure that downtown businesses would fit the same mold for me anyway. That's just my comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Garvey, thank you. Understanding for what your situation is. Thank you for coming. And I think what you've brought some good questions that we need to get resolved, so we'll work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving forward on, we'll call on the man with the taser, Inspector Mendelson.
Three of us here today.
Yeah. Ms. Tollett. Oh. While you're setting up, can we take a 5-minute break for everybody? Real quick, guys.
Thank you, Your Worship. Okay. Ready to roll?
As soon as the next guy gets up here and gets his seatbelt on, we're in
You know that, Councilor McClure, they're always slow. Use the farm tractor excuse again. Good afternoon, Your Worship, members of Council, Town of Caledon staff, and members of the public. Thank you for having us again for the 2016 OPP budget, and thanks to my partner, as we are called the Dream Team now, me and Peggy. So we put together the presentation, so she's done a lot of work as usual with great support from Fu Wing. I've got a couple of guests here with me today from our office. You might know, of course, Staff Sergeant Mike Grant, if you could stand up, and Sergeant Kevin Buckner. Not sure where he's disappeared to. It's like this at the office. I always got to try to find him. So, anyways, we've got a little bit of a different budget presentation this time. You know, in the years gone by, and last year we read a lot of stats out, and Peggy does all the numbers. So, moving forward, we've developed a lot of new strategies. So, Mike's going to do a little bit of a presentation on one, and Kevin's going to do a presentation on the second. It's the way we do business now. We've moved and evolved over the last little bit, and it affects the budget. These two, what you'll find, the community mobilization and engagement and the Canadian mental health awareness strategy that we have about 35% of our calls, and that's calls for service and hours spent is on these particular calls for service. So Mike's going to lead off with a little strategy that we've developed at Caledon, so I'll leave it to my good operations manager.
So I know it's been a long day, so I'm just going to refer to my notes just so I can get the points out and not be dragged on, because I do have the tendency to elaborate on what I've came to do. So really I want to speak to the Callan OPP deployment of its frontline resources through the community engagement and mobilization. We continue to invest in our intelligence-led policing model. At the beginning of 2015, we've now added a trained OPP analyst to our detachment who conducts weekly trend analysis on crimes, victimization, motor vehicle collisions, public safety complaints in reference to traffic, suspicious behavior, and criminality. Locations, time frames, and causal factors are identified and reported to detachment command. How is this information used? We've developed two strategies, a strategic approach and a tactical approach. The strategic approach, we've labeled it as directed patrols. As you may know, the town of Caledon is policed, and we've broken it down into four patrol zones. And in these zones, we identify target locations, and they're assigned to these patrol zones. Could be schools, could be commuter routes. Communicated by the detachment command directly to team leaders, which is our sergeants. Sergeants assign their members to patrol the identified area within the patrol zone. This increases visibility, places the officers in areas that have an elevated public safety concern. Assigned officer has a purpose. Every cruiser, every black and white you see out there is there for a purpose. It's to educate, engage, and conduct enforcement when necessary. Officer reports their findings in police databases. An example is commuting routes. We have an increased amount of traffic coming through our commuter routes. And this flow of traffic, this increase in the flow of traffic directly results in the number of occurrences that are reported to the police. So these directed patrols create a high visibility, and enforcement keeps the speed and aggressive driving down, controlling the number and severity of collisions. Whenever an officer is not engaged in an active investigation, they have an expectation to conduct directed patrols in their assigned patrol zones, and they're accountable to their team leaders, which is their sergeants. Now, the tactical approach is when what we call a focus patrol. This is when targeted locations are assigned based on an analytical strategy. There is an identified public safety issue that requires immediate intervention. Detachment command initiates this. We create a start date and an end date, which is established right from the get-go. Goals are established. All applicable resources are assigned to this focus patrol. Method of measuring and analyzing incoming data is established. Focus patrol has the ability to be modified as results come in to better respond to identified issues and causal factors. Supportive units are engaged. Our media CSO officer, who you know, PC Evans. Any specialty services that we can draw upon, whether it's internal or external, other OPP specialty services, as well as external stakeholders and roundtables that we can call to address the best way to target this identified public safety issue. This focus patrol, our tactical approach, is designed to report back to the community on our results. Examples where this approach has been used in 2015 are the Forks of the Credit, Alton, Highway 10, Highway 9, and all of the Town of Caledon school zones. It's continually reassessed for its effectiveness. Focus patrol assignments are treated as a priority call for service. Just to go back, directed patrols is strategic, it's long-term. It's basically when we identify that we need to be there to address any issues that are raised to us or that we find in our analysis. Focus patrol is an identified public safety threat that we assign resources to, and as many resources as applicable to actually deal with the issue, measure the results, and modify it to be the most effective service for that. Thirdly, we go into our road watch program in the town of Caledon. In the past, Caledon Detachment would send out letters to registered owners of identified motor vehicles that are identified in a complaint. indicating what the driver action was reported to the police. What we've done to modify this process in the town of Caledon in 2015 is when we confirm that the traffic complaint coming in through the road watch to the Caledon OPP, that the license plate owner is a resident of the town of Caledon, we no longer send letters to the town of Caledon. We now send an officer to speak with the registered owner of the motor vehicle. This personal approach has proven to be very effective as far as if it's not the registered owner driving the motor vehicle, they'll know whoever they're allowing their car, or the use of their car, to know what driving behaviors is taking place in the town. This has proven very beneficial for us over this last year, and we continue to carry this process on into 2016. And it doesn't mean if you're not a resident of town of Caledon and we confirm your license plate, we still assign an officer to follow up with that, but we won't do the door-to-door service. And just to wrap up really quickly, our results, and I'm talking year-to-date results this time in 2015 as we sit, compared to year-to-date 2014 in a direct comparison, these customized strategies for each specific community has been very beneficial to us. We've increased the education, engagement, and enforcement due to officers being in the right place at the right time. So in 2015, we're sitting in comparison to this time in 2014. We've laid 37% more traffic charges because we've been in the right place at the right time. We've removed 35% more stunt driving racing charges since this time last year because we're in the right place at the right time. And that's because of the traffic complaints that are coming in from our residents and many times coming to our through our counselors directly to us. Our impaired and over 80 milligram arrests are up 25%. Our increase in roadside suspensions for drinking driving is 20% higher this year. Our fatal motor vehicle collisions and personal injury collisions have not increased or decreased. We're status quo, same as this time 2014. Our property damage collision has decreased 25%. Because we're in those areas that we need to be. And our traffic complaints coming into our office are 6% higher. And that's a good thing. They're, people are engaged and they're letting us know where we need to be. This deployment model has proven to us in 2015 to be very beneficial. And it's the most efficient way to be effective with the resources that we already have. And in 2016, we intend to carry on this progress, and we intend to increase its efficiency even further.
Just to save time as well, if you have any questions for Staff Sergeant Grant, might be a good time to ask him instead of back and forth, if that works. No? Continue on.
Yep. Thank you.
Next again here is Sergeant Buckner. He's our lead in the introduction of our mental health response unit, so he's going to give you a brief overview of the new strategy.
Members of the Council, Mayor. I'm here to talk about the OPP strategic direction with respect to mental health and where we foresee our future and where we're going to take it. Just to give you a brief history, in 2009, we created a partnership with St. Elizabeth Healthcare Center in order for us to receive a consultation and also have a mobile response strategy done with St. Elizabeth. Their mobile strategy was available but was limited due to the dynamics of where they were situated. So in 2015, that partnership terminated. In 2015, basically by looking at our data and looking at calls for service, identifying that they've been an increase in 42%, and officer hours and time spent have increased by 65%, we needed something that was timely, coordinated, specialized, and professional, something that would enhance our resources and allow us to allocate our people appropriately within the town of Caledon. Based on what we've identified, we created and did some outreach work with the CEO of the Canadian Mental Association in Brampton and worked with their senior management team amongst our senior management team in Caledon, in order for us to create an MOU. This memorandum of understanding that we created with 24/7 crisis support Peel would allow for a partnership in order for them to address mental health, addiction, and crisis stabilization within the town of Caledon for an expeditious response in dealing with members of the public who are facing a crisis at any given point in time. How the plan will work is that two officers would be dispatched to the call for service. They would mobilize the call for service and then contact the 24/7 crisis worker who is working at the Caledon detachment already, and they would attend the call for service in order to provide a crisis stabilization plan. How we see this moving forward in 2016 is that we're going to see a decrease in calls for service as a result of the crisis worker and the frontline officer attending the call for service in order for them to put forward a crisis stabilization plan. And also the amount of hours at 65%, the increase, we should see a decrease because the crisis worker will be taking the majority of the calls and the onus would be placed on CMHA. So that is the direction that we are taking right now. Presently, we have two officers that are trained, and they will receive specialized training from the Canadian Mental Health Association specifically. And we also have four backup officers in the event that they are at training. We can have a backfill so that the town of Caledon is serviced appropriately when they're gone. The program will be up and running on December 1st, 2015, and we will have our media launch and kickoff in January of 2016 in order for members of the public and also members of our detachment to know the direction that we're taking and moving forward with mental health.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the important parts of the Caledon Detachment is our auxiliary program. A lot of you have had an opportunity to meet our auxiliaries, so I'm just going to highlight a little bit of information about our auxiliary. The auxiliary unit is made up of 25 members, led by our Staff Sergeant Derek Corkin and Mike McJanik, Sergeant. This group has over 200 years of experience, and many members of this 25 have been with the unit for over 15 years. Year to date, the unit has volunteered for over 5,000 hours. They do many community events. We do a lot of the seasonal events, community events, the car seat clinics, everything. They're just engaged in the community. They're always at most events around the town of Caledon community. A big part of the unit as well is doing the Forks of the Credit this past fall again. We had 585 volunteer hours for the campaign. You see a nice little picture of Mike there in the fall colors. Six weekends, 13 days. 65 member days, and again, 585 volunteer hours. This is huge to the Caledon Detachment. We've got one of the best auxiliary units in the province. Like I say, 25 members. They're recognized throughout the province, and they provide the support to us. You look at all those hours, and you know we don't have the resources. It saves putting out paid duties, overtime, etc. So it's a real cost efficient, and the members are great, engaged, a part of the community, and I can't say enough about that. The mayor and I have had many discussions about the unit, and again, they are key to the detachment as well. Brenda Evans is one of the leads with the unit, as well as PC Quinton, so it's a great unit, and I just wanted to recognize them as well as it's a big part of the budget saving as well. Just a quick little overview, you can read this. This is some of the key community partnerships and initiatives for 2016. They're there for you to read. I don't have to, self-explanatory. And some of our resource commitments that we're have been doing in the past and will continue moving forward. And again, now we have the mental health crisis team, which is new. The RIDE team is in its second year right now. It's up and running since October the 15th till January the 15th. We usually like to put it in front of farmers' houses, too. So we have, and we have a new one as well. Lori Moynihan, our domestic violence coordinator, has done a lot of work for our for the domestic position as well, and she's engaged the community in a lot of different programs, so she's done a tremendous job as well. And I leave it over to Peggy.
Okay, so I'll start with the numbers side of it. Okay, so the previous contract for municipal policing services was basically primarily on uniformed staff, so it was inspectors, sergeants, and constables. But in 2015, as you know, that was a new OPP billing model that was introduced, which was a base plus calls for service model. 2015 was the first year of that model, and 2016 is a reflection of that same model with some minor changes. So for the base calls for service, it's at 58.7%, which is slightly lower than last year. And the calls for service is at 41.3%, which is slightly higher than last year. The base costs for service includes all staffing for the detachment of the municipal policing activities across the province. The base level of service includes normal things like routine patrols, crime prevention, the ride program, and infrastructure. You take the total cost of the detachments all across the province divided by the total amount of properties, residential and commercial, to get a rate. And this year's rate is $193.07. For 2015, that rate was $200.51. The town basically takes that $193.07 multiplied by a number of properties for commercial and residential, and we get approximately cost for the base service of $4.5 million, which is similar to last year. The calls for service represents the balance, or the other 41.3%, of provincial-wide municipal policing service. The calls for service are more reactive in nature. There are such things as drug violations, criminal code violations, property crimes, violent criminal crimes. Each call is weighted for how much time is involved for each call. They take that and over the last 4 years of the town's history to get a cost per call. That call for service for 2016 budget is estimated at $3 million. It'll fluctuate from year to year based on the average over the 4 years, but it's the average over the 4 years, so if you have a spike in a given year, it'll smooth itself out. The calls for service for the 2016 budget is the average from 2011 to 2014. Enhancements are over and above the base and the calls for service. These are specifically to the town of Caledon, which we pay for over and above that regular service. The town currently has 27 positions that are part of the enhancements. 23 uniform and 4 civilians that covers community response for things like ride team, bike patrol, foot patrol, and community events. The street crime unit, which focuses on drug crimes, property crimes, theft, and fraud. And the traffic unit, which focuses on commercial motor vehicle inspections. All the enhancements, that total budget is about $4.4 million. The town also has two programs which we receive funding for. One is our 1,000 officer program for about $140,000, and the other is our community policing program, which is another $180,000, for a total grant funding that we receive currently as $320,000. The budget is made up of 5 components. There is the OPP policing costs, which includes the base level of service, the calls for service, and the enhancements. It includes the OPP property services, which are the facility costs for the OPP station and the 2 smaller storefront locations, the one at the CCRW and the other one at Orangeville. An equipment budget, grants, which I discussed earlier, and then reserve funding if required. This is basically a snapshot of our budget. There's our 2016 proposed budget and the projections from 2017 to 2019. The first line shows the potential proposed 2016 contract at $12 million. Then we have the property services cost at $440,000, and that includes for all 3 facilities. The equipment budget is the same each year. It's about $150,000. The grants for $320,000, which gives us our overall budget of about $12.3 million, which is a 2% increase from 2015. At this time, we're not asking for any contributions or funding from the reserve. And then our projections for 2017 to 2019 are reflecting there just with some adjustments for inflation and increased properties as we go forward. It's important to note we're not using the reserve at this point, but however, that could change in a given year. If, for example, we lose some of those grants or there's increased costs province-wide for municipal policing services, then we'll have to reflect that. Overtime may vary from year to year, so if it's an increase in 1 year, it's based on actuals. And then possibly if the rolling 4-year average of calls for service increases, in particular in one area or another, it'll balance out within all the municipalities. All those are key risk items that if in a given year that we have to use the reserve, we could. But at this point, we're not projecting to use it. So in speaking of our reserves, we have three, all with fairly good balances. The first one is our Caledon Policing Stabilization Reserve, which is approximately $2 million. The OPP Capital Infrastructure Reserve with $5.6 million. And our Development Charge Reserve, which is $400,000, for a total of almost $8 million. And these are as of September 30th. We have two proposals for the 2016 budget. One is for $180,000 for the renovations to the Bell Fountain Community Center. This will offer an OPP storefront location. An additional location is required in this area to help based on traffic and accident reports. And then we're also asking for $200,000 for feasibility study for community safety equipment. This is to optimize and enhance the OPP service delivery at the town of Caledon. Both are projected to be funded from the OPP Capital Infrastructure Reserve. And that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
I guess the one question is with the $180,000 renovation, could that not be funded out of the Capital Infrastructure Reserve as opposed to tax funded?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that is what we're actually asking. It's from the Capital Infrastructure Reserve.
Both those two projects?
Both of them, sorry. Both of them are.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that was the only question, because I didn't really read it. Oh, fine there. I guess I quit too early. It's the last sentence. Thanks.
Councillor McClure.
Okay. How many officers do you have?
At Caledon Attachment, we have 112 officers. That includes everyone, and an additional 25 members from the auxiliary unit. So.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, you had 106. You're putting them up as you, yeah.
Population.
As the population rises, you're getting a few more, are you?
No, we're locked into the five-year contract, and we will not be asking for additional resources. We'll be working through the next years without asking for any additional resources.
Okay, well, I think you're doing a good job. I haven't had any complaints, but we hardly ever see a police car out in my part of town, but that's a good thing. Everybody's, unless you're after me, we live in a safe community, and you do a good job.
Thank you. I know we've been to your house, though, so.
Councillor Befford?
Yes, the 1,000 officer program, if I correct, is that about 5 years old, that particular...
Six or seven.
That's getting up there in terms of the amount that you get. Is there a finite period for that, or is that just an ongoing from the province?
It's ongoing, and I spoke to Municipal Policing Bureau actually probably about a month and a half ago, because Peggy and I had that same question, and it is continued on, so that's a good thing. There's no stop date on it yet, so I'm hoping it will just keep on rolling and rolling. I can't give it a definite answer, but Municipal Policing information is that it will continue.
I guess from Ward 1 point of view, it's nice to know that what Mike says when he stands up is actually true. The people in the Forks of the Credit are now saying thanks for the help. You know, I mean, they're really indicating how much additional support has been given, and I know it's taken a lot of work on your behalf. Now, Mike always says when he comes out to community meetings that what's important for your detachment is for residents to call if they have a concern. And I think more and more people have been doing that, as Mike alluded to. Can you just refresh us with the telephone numbers that you want them to call?
If it's an emergency, it's always 911.
Right.
But if it's not, it's 1-888-310-1122. So encourage the people to contact. And I know as you councillors and the mayor definitely get a lot of emails, telephone calls. But we need to get those calls for service, and we need to receive them. We got one today as well, so I had our traffic guy contact the complaint, which was night, gave us the good information. This is when it happens. You know, this is the prime times. This is what they're doing, because sometimes they're only giving you guys a shortened version, and at least we can get some more information out of the complainants.
Fabulous. So that's 888-310-1122.
Yes, and that'll take you to the Aurelia.
Is there a star OPP as well?
Yeah, you can do the star OPP as well.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, everyone, for your presentation. Really well thought out budget that for the modest increase, provides a lot of service for that, and that's where I see value. And the fact that Caledon OPP tailors it, really does community policing, to me, matters a lot, and it really shows the partnership between the police and the community that it serves. So thank you for that. One question I had was with part of the proposed capital budget is $200,000 for a feasibility study for closed circuit television. Are you able to elaborate at all on what that is, or is that still too theoretical at this point?
No, I can talk about it. I've got no issues at all, for sure. It's what we're looking at is, as you know, in policing, it's going forward and with technology and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of police departments, and I always use the two good examples, is England has a camera system that is second to none. A small place in Prince Edward Island, Cavendish, has a system set up as well, and other communities throughout Ontario. It's a system that enables or helps us out in the policing community. Everyone always calls it the Big Brother, but it's not the Big Brother. It's a great tool, and we can use it not only for traffic, for crime, everything. So we're looking at getting this, once the feasibility study goes, of putting cameras throughout the town of Caledon in identifiable areas, hot spots, a place that might have a lot of graffiti happening, or Forks of the Credit, for example, intersections on Highway 10, etc. There's so many multiple uses for the cameras, and we're looking at a substantial amount of cameras, and it's going to only make the community safer. It's going to give us the resources. They'll be recordable for a period of time. They're not going to be hidden cameras throughout the town of Caledon. They'll actually have police on them, so people know that they are police cameras. They're very enhanced, and they just provide a great technology advantage for the police.
Perfect, thank you. And I agree with you that they are a great tool. Thank you.
Thank you to all of you, and I liked your idea on the mental health. That was good to bring that forward. I got to also say that your auxiliary are amazing, and I'm glad you brought those hours forward, 5,000 hours. Well, that's pretty impressive. If you can sit still, and I'll ask everybody to go to RB2, and we finished with the delegation, but I know some of this was with the report as well. So moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Groves, that the report CS 2015-054 regarding proposed 2016 OPP budget and 217 to 219 projections be received, and that the Ontario Provincial Police OPP proposed 2016 budget in Table 2 of the report CS 2015-054 be approved, the projections for the 2017 to 2019 be received, and that the copy of the report CS 2015-054 be provided to the Region Appeal for consideration for the 2016 budget. All in favor? Carried. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. If I can get everybody to go to RB3. And I want to thank everybody for waiting around for this one. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the report DP 2015-094 regarding the proposed draft plan subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment, Right Land Development Corp., Halls Lake Estates, 15877 Mount Wolf Road, part of Lot 20, Concession 10, ALB, Ward 4, be received, and that the Mayor and Clerk be authorized to execute the minutes of settlement regarding to the proposed draft plan of subdivision, the zoning bylaw amendment, as outlined in the Council Report DP 2015-094, or as modified to the satisfaction of the Director of Development Approval and Planning Policy, in consultation with the town's solicitor, and that the town and staff be authorized to continue to act on behalf of the town going forward for the proposed draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment before the Ontario Municipal Board as outlined in Council Report DP 2015-094 in accordance of the usual course of the Ontario Municipal Board matter. No questions? All in favor? Oh, sorry. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey. This is RB4 for everybody. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Mizzapelli. The report, CEO 2015-022, regarding signed variance requests for the various public school locations within the town be received. That the variance signed by law 94-14 amend to be granted for a Caledonese public school located at 15 Jean Street to permit. 1, a ground sign with electronic message center. 2, ground sign with maximum height of 5.5 meters, which is 18 feet. 3, ground sign with a maximum area of 6 square meters, 64 square feet. And that the sign variance bylaw 94-14, as amended, be granted to Caledon Central Public School located at 18357 Kennedy Road to permit. A ground sign with electronic message center. 2, a ground sign with a maximum area of 6 square meters or 64 square feet. 3, internal illumination, and that various to a sign bylaw 94-14 to amend to be granted to Palgrave Public School located at 8962 Patterson Side Road to permit a ground sign with electronic message center. 2, a ground sign with a maximum area of 6 square feet equal to 6 square meters, 64 square feet, with internal illumination, and that the various signed bylaw 94-14 be amended to be granted to Mayfield Secondary School located at 5000 Mayfield Road to permit a ground sign with electronic message center. 2, a ground sign with maximum area of 6 square meters or 64 square feet. 3, a 9-meter, 30-foot sight line setback. 4, internal illumination. Councillor DeBoer.
I think I personally don't have any concerns. There's the one letter that we had, correspondence number 2 from Carol Williams from Palgrave, and I forwarded it on to the trustee because I think it really addresses the question as to why the location was there. It's the fourth comment in there about the sign, the speed limit sign that flashes for the school zone. I just wanted to bring that to staff's attention so that they can deal with it. But other than that, I don't have any other concerns.
Okay. Councillor Ennis?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I'll be brief because I know we're all tired and it's a long day. I just want to say that I think that these signs are extremely beneficial for the community, in particular for Caldy's Public School. There's a lot of new residents within our village who are not even familiar with the fact that Caldy's Public School exists. It's covered from Airport Road. They've seen a decline in students over the last couple of years, yet there's been an increase in population here. So, and when I meet residents out on the street and they say, what school does your children go to? And I say, Caledonese Public School. They say, where's that? So I think that this sign will go a long way in not only promoting the school, but also promoting things that are happening within the community and creating that and furthering the connectivity between the residents and the school in that partnership. So I look forward to these signs finally being there. These signs have been talked about for years, and I know in particular the Caledonese Public School Parents Association have spent a lot of time trying to make this a reality. So I look forward to them actually being erected.
Thank you. Councillor Befford.
Yeah, I noticed that the wiring is going in at Caledon Central School, so they've already started them. I guess my question is, do we have any negotiated agreement whatsoever that any of our information will be used on those signs? Are they strictly for the school?
Yes, Johnson.
Even in the extent of an emergency or something, that they'll put our messages up?
Councillor DeBoer, through the mayor, we don't have anything formalized. Well, you ask a lot of questions today, Councillor. Councillor Weber, we don't have a formal agreement, but we do have some conversations beginning with the school board on that very thing.
Okay, thanks. All in favor of the motion? It's carried. Everybody go to RB4? Or that's RB4. So we're now at RB5. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the report, PREC, 2015-025 regarding community group affiliation policy be received, that the current affiliated youth sports group policy be repealed and replaced with a community group affiliation policy attached as Schedule A to staff report PREC 2015-025. Councillor Mizzapelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. I think this is a really great report, and I want to thank staff for bringing this forward, because I see this as expanding the inclusiveness of the opportunity to partner with the town. The one question I did have is the existing program we have for particularly youth affiliated sports groups, where they get a discount on user fees for our facilities. With these changes, will that have a net change in the cost for them to operate their programs?
Mr. Baird?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Mezzapelle, no, it won't change. That's a council-directed subsidy to youth groups, so it won't change the youth group. This is, the policy is just changing to be all-inclusive of not just youth groups.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. One thing before... I got to say, I agree with you, Councillor Mezzapelle. That is a well-written report. Jason, nice job. All in favor? Carried. Everybody can go to RB6. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that the report PREC 2015-024 regarding allocation facility use be received, and that the community use of facility policy RO5-01 be repealed and replaced with the facility use policy attached to Schedule B to staff report PRC 2015-024. Councillor Mezzapelle.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Again, another great report. One question, as I was reading this, a lot of it seemed to come back to ice time. And I recognize we have a certain number of facilities and there's prime time and everybody vies for it. And things change in time. It's a state of flux. Is there any, and I don't know what the industry has, but is there any vision for having the schedule available for our affiliated groups to access and see what blocks are available, as opposed to having to make the call, go through the process of determining it, where they might be able to see in real time what's available and make plans based on that?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Mezzapelle, I believe staff is researching centralized booking and how that can be communicated.
Okay.
At this time, it's not there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
I guess as a part of a user group, we were all looking forward to a lot of the stuff getting addressed and straightened out and getting policies. On this chart, Schedule A, a lot of municipalities have other processes or other formal agreements. Is there an intent to continue to work through and develop more of these agreements so that they kind of take away sometimes the question of how things are going to happen?
Mr. Baird?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor DeBoer. We're always researching ways to meet best practices in the industry, and that comparison chart is a way of doing that, is that we look at the policies of all other municipalities, and we saw that Caledon lacked addressing a couple of areas. And you can see now with the new policy, we're almost addressing every issue regarding allocation. Other issues, we will continue to research best practices and bring policies forward.
I think that both this policy and the previous one, I think, are... As being a user of a newer group that's growing, I think it's going to help us in the long term. I think it's a matter of working with existing users, and I congratulate your staff, and I think that you guys are going to be able to kind of take over the, smooth out the bumps and kind of work through the whole thing as it goes, because that's exactly what you've been doing. So, thanks for both reports and both information, and look forward to working with you.
Okay. Councillor Downey?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor Thompson. I just have a quick question, and I'll echo the sentiments of my colleagues. Really good work, and I know that there's been a lot of positive feedback coming from the community in terms of building those relationships. I know that there was a program in or a keypad installed at Inglewood to help with access to the building for certain user groups, and I'm wondering if there are plans to implement that in some of the other smaller centres like Cheltenham.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Downey. Yes, we do intend to do that, and especially through our new affiliation policy, to be able to address all sorts of issues through affiliation to allow that access.
Great, thank you. That's good news.
Good. Councillor Befford.
Yeah, I agree, and I think what Councillor DeBoer had to say is the staff are really trying hard to work out the bumps in the road, and they're trying to work with community members so that, you know, what they saw happening years ago continues to happen, but with some parameters, and I really commend them on that. The one issue I just wonder if we're gaining on is the declined ice time, because that's always been an issue of people sort of overbooking and then not using and then not doing it in a time to leave that ice available for other groups. Are we moving along? I know we're not perfect.
Mr. Baird?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Befford. That's what this allocation policy is going to help address. There'll be real consequences if you cancel not within a certain time frame, and we do have user groups that are looking for that ice time, so I'm sure this will address it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. No further questions. All in favor? Carried. RB7, moved by Councillor Misipelli, second by Councillor Innes, that the report FES 2015-009 regarding single-source purchase fire master plan be received. The single-source purchase be awarded to Dillon Consulting Limited for delivery of master fire plan in the amount of $70,356.86, inclusive with non-recoverable HST funded from the 2015 operating budget fire master plan, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to executed an agreement with Dillon Consulting Limited for the purchase of the Fire Master Plan. All in favor? Carried. RB8, moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor DeBoer. Report PW 2015-082 regarding vacant lot property addressing be received. That the vacant lot addressing be completed on the request basis as outlined in Report PW 2015-082, and that the Bylaw 99-46 municipal emergency numbering be amended to reflect the changes to the Report PW 2015-082. Councillor DeBoer.
With this, are you going to be able to publicize how to get a number? Because one of the things I've found very interesting is that if you do try and get an emergency number, it's very difficult to get staff to actually tell you how to do it, because I ran into it with, I think the last one was a farm building going up, and it seemed to be a catch-22 between the building department and the fire department, and then having the sign allocated in a number. So the process of how do we get, you know, an application for a number, and where does it come from? Because there's no buildings, there's going to be no trigger for a building permit. Do we go to Public Works desk? Do we go to the fire department? Do we go where?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, yep. Councillor DeBoer, we're going to work out the process, but it will come through Public Works for the application, and then we'll work it from there. As for the advertising, we have money in this year's budget for advertising. With the approval of this report, we'll start a campaign between now and Christmas to get that information out to the public so that they know what to do, where to go.
You're going to do it through the social media site as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. And I know this is something that I think we've all been working on, and it's, you know, it's for health and safety for the rural community. So thank you for finally getting this here. Thank you. Well, all in favor? I was all excited here. RB9. The report moved by Councillor McClure, second by Councillor Innes, that the report DP 2015-093 regarding new protocol for establishing telecommunication facilities be received, and that the new protocol for establishing telecommunication facilities is outlined in Schedule A and report DP 2015-093 be approved, and that the bylaw be enacted to amend the fees and the charges of the bylaw 2015-012 to update the telecommunications section, and that the bylaw be enacted to delegate authority to fast track, immediate, and scoop stream telecommunication applications to the Director of Development and Approval and Planning Policy, or designate an issue of exceptions and concurrence, as well as execute letters of undertaking. And all in favor? Carried. And I got to tell you, thank you. This is something that it I had to read it three times before it sunk in, but we got there. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Misipelli, that the report PW 2015-086, the proposed all-way stop for McEwen Drive at Nixon Road, be received, and that the traffic bylaw 2015-058 be amended to repeal and replace Schedule D to include an all-way stop at the intersection of McEwen and at Nixon, and that the traffic bylaw 2015-058 be amended to repeal and replace Schedule J to include bicycle lanes on Bolton Heights between Highway 50 and Kingsview Drive and on McEwen from Simpson to Loring Drive. All in favor? Carried. Okay, we're now at RB 11. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, the report DP 2015-095 regarding demolition of structure and removal of 12724 Coleraine Drive from Heritage Register be received, and that the demolition of the dwelling on the listed non-designated property 12724 Coleraine Drive be approved, and that property removed from the Heritage Register and identified building elements from the dwelling be salvaged by the owner during demolition, and that the installation of a plaque commemorating the history of the property made by the condition of the planning approval for any future redevelopment of the property, that the development approval and planning policy staff be so advised. All in favor? Oh, sorry, Councillor Misipelli, I didn't see that.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just one question. In the report, it talks about if feasible to retain some of the brick and the slate roof. Is that, if that can happen, is that going to be in the town's possession? I'm just wondering how that will be repurposed.
Through you, Your Worship, no, it will be the intent from my discussions with the developer and the owner is for it to be removed by a professional salvage company for use elsewhere. We don't necessarily have the storage facilities for that or the purpose or the need for it at this point in time.
Okay. That is just my mind was spinning around, you know, trying to keep it in the area in which it was originally erected. But I do understand logistically it can't always happen. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. Everybody can go to RB 12, moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer. Report PREC 2015-021 regarding Toronto 2015 Pan Am Games summary be received. Questions? None? All in favor? Carried. Good report, by the way. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Misipelli, that the report PW 2015-078 regarding 2015 Green School Fund recommendations be received. The release of $12,224.60 from the Green School Fund account in the Energy and Environment 2015 operating budget to the recipients outlined in Table 1 of the PW 2015-078 be authorized, that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute agreements with the Dufferin Peel Catholic District School and the Peel District School Board for the Green School Fund. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Shaughnessy, that the minutes of the following meetings be adopted as written and distributed. Closed meeting held November 10th, 2015. Special council meeting held November 11th, 2015, which is a PIM. Special council meeting held November 13th, 2015. Closed council meeting held November 13th, 2015. Special council meeting held November 14th, 2015. Closed council meeting held November 14th, 2015. Council meeting held November 17th, 2015. Council meeting held November 10th, 2015, and that all the minutes of the following meetings be received and written and distributed. Accessibility Advisory Meeting being held November 12th, 2015. Bolton Business Improvement Area, BIA, Board Management Meeting held October 19th, 2015. Caledon Public Library Board meeting held October 19th, 2015. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Misipelli. Whereas the increasing awareness of human values, truth and right and conduct, peace and love and nonviolence, and all the multiple sub-values like honesty, integrity, kindness, and caring in the town of Caledon is a primary goal of this wonderful town. Therefore, let it be resolved that November 26, 2015, proclaimed as Walk for Values Day in the town of Caledon. All in favor? Opposed? Carrie wants to hug. No, who's getting punchy? Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Groves, that the correspondence of the Ministry of Citizenship and Immigration and International Trade be dated November 2015 regarding the Ontario Medal for Young Volunteers be received. That the correspondence from Carol Williams dated November 19, 2015 regarding signed variants for the Palgrave Public School be received. And that the correspondence from Zelinka Premio Limited dated, I blew that, I know that, November 20th, 2015, regarded staff report 2015-097, provincial facilitation be received. All in favor? So is there any announcements anybody has to make? I see none. Oh, sorry, yes, Councillor Annis, or I'll go with you first, and then Isabelle.
So nice. Just the first one is to remind everybody that we will be having the second annual Christmas tree lighting on December the 1st here at 6 o'clock, which is perfect timing because hopefully we'll get more people even into the budget presentation discussions. And also just want to remind people that it is the holiday season and to drive carefully, and if you need a designated driver, to take the services of Home James. And if you're also interested in volunteering, this is a great organization to give back to your community, and they are looking for volunteers, and you can find information at homejames-caledon.ca.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Misipelli.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Councillor Innes took one of mine, was Home James. But just to add one thing to it, the phone number to call Home James, either to volunteer or look for a ride, is 905-951-9000. The other thing is on December the 5th, the Kinsmen will be putting on their annual Santa Claus parade, which runs from Queensgate to Centennial Drive. So encourage everybody to come out and welcome the Christmas season.
Councillor Befford.
Yes, first of all, I dropped at everybody's chair a reminder of Christmas at the Alton Mill. Lots of things happening. On December the 5th, Caledon Village will have its own parade, and all are welcome starting at 5 o'clock, and a Christmas tree lighting ceremony at Knox United Church at the corner of 10 and Charleston Side Road at approximately 6:15. And also the Inglewood Firefighters will have their annual Christmas celebration, pancake breakfast, and food drive on the morning of December the 6th. So if you're in Inglewood, drop in.
When's Inglewood doing their tree lighting?
I don't know yet. Haven't got word yet. Do you know
Palgrave?
No.
Palgrave? Yeah. Anybody know when Palgrave is? November what? 20th. Okay. Okay, so I got to say one thing. On the we had a real successful coffee with council on last Saturday morning, and I want to thank council for being there. Also, we have one for the west side, and it's not going to be held at the Caledon Library. We're going to be hosting it at the Recreation Center, Lloyd Wilson. So that's where it's just location change. So I know Mr. Loveridge is looking forward to coming, so I just wanted to make sure he knew about that. But perfect. And leave your tooth at home. Anyway, okay, enough of that. We'll move on. Any urgent business? I don't see any, so notice of motion.
This is urgent.
Oh, is this urgent business? I thought it was just the notice of motion. Okay, moved by Councillor Misipelli, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the motion without notice being introduced, 2015 council meeting schedule. All in favor? Okay. The clerk's going to make me sign these as I go. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the council meeting scheduled for December 22nd, 2015, beginning at 9:30 a.m. All in favor? Carried. Okay, sorry, I was thinking of another one. Okay, so any notices of motion printed in the agenda or ones that need to be presented at this meeting? Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick note, I went to an AMO conference on Friday and attended Bill 73, and there was some interesting information, but one that struck me was one of the participants asked about...
is this inquiry or a motion?
No, this is council inquiry.
Oh, we're not there yet.
What?
You
want me to stop now?
You want to go ahead. I'll let you finish and then I'll let you go.
Well, because I want to let Mary go.
Okay.
So there was a question from the floor on notice under the Planning Act. And what was particularly interesting was that the gentleman from the province said, well, it's minimum notice in the Planning Act, and there's no reason why your municipality can't do greater notices if needed. Apparently, they'd had a lot of complaints from the public about, you know, the notice distances. And I know that Councillor Misipelli had brought up when I brought the aggregate one forward to have the greater distance, he said, well, why do we keep doing this? This seems to be taking up a lot of staff time and blah, blah, and so on and so on. And it was mentioned that it had actually been brought forward to council, but not this council. It was the council before, a full report. And I just think that because of what Councillor Misipelli had said the other day and what the minister said on the planning distances for notice, then maybe we should bring that, not December, I know she's busy, but maybe we could look at bringing that back, Mary, to council for review, maybe in January, because it seems to be, I think it's going to continually come up.
Ms. Hall?
Through Mayor Thompson to Councillor Shaughnessy, I believe since Council has dealt with this, and if you wanted us to revisit it, I would appreciate having some direction from Council on that for us to spend the time and resources to do that. Thank you.
Actually, through you, Your Worship, to my colleague, I believe when the report did come forward, there was direction for it to come back again, so we'll look at that because I don't think a final decision was made.
Okay. All right. We'll go back to the motions. Councillor Ennis.
As mentioned earlier today, I do have a notice of motion with regards to the secondary plan process for Brez and what I'm hoping will be called Macville in some form or another. Whereas the Town of Caledon undertook an adopted population and employment forecast for the 2031 planning horizon to implement growth plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe 2006 and related results of the provincial policy conformity process through OPA 226. And whereas the Town of Caledon undertook and formally implemented the results of OPA 226 to identify priority growth areas in Bolton to accommodate 10,348 people and 2,635 jobs by 2031 through the Bolton Residential Expansion Study, and whereas the area north of King Street, west of the Canadian Pacific Rail Line, and east of the Gore Road, also known as Option 3 land, together with three small surrounding rounding out areas, was identified as the preferred growth area through the Brez process, which consisted of a formal municipal comprehensive review process in accordance with provincial and regional official plan policies and full agency and public consultation, and whereas the town has submitted a complete application to amend the Region of Peel official plan Peel Region File ROP 14-002 to facilitate the development of the preferred expansion area, and whereas town is supportive and proactive in requesting Metrolinks to immediately advance planning and protection of the rail corridor and station area to initiate commuter GO Rail service to Bolton, and whereas it is in the public interest to expeditiously create the implementation of the planning process for the preferred expansion area as a landmark transit-oriented community in Caledon, and whereas town staff have developed a detailed work plan and begun working diligently on the secondary plan for the area since the submission of the Region of Peel official plan amendment application, and therefore it is hereby resolved that staff be directed to 1. Report back at the first planning committee meeting in 2016 on the progress of the secondary plan for the Bolton residential expansion study area, including the work to develop a conceptual road network. 2. Seek council approval to initiate and integrate within the overall secondary planning process a BRES-related municipal class environmental assessment as recommended by the approval Bolton Transportation Master Plan. And 3. Identify a name for the community that is reflective of the area's historical background.
Okay. Thank you. Any other notices of motion? Not. Councillor Shaughnessy, any other council inquiries? Councillor Mizzapelli, any council inquiries? Councillor Ennis? Yes.
I've asked this before of staff, but I'm going to ask it in open session so that it can maybe be put as direction. I would like to see the O Canada National Anthem be played in its bilingual form so that we can have it in both French and English.
So through Councillor Innes to Council, actually that would be something that would be timely during our procedural bylaw review. So that will be coming forward before the end of the year.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Befford, any inquiries? Councillor Innes, or I mean Downey. Councillor DeBoer.
Yes, thank you. We had at our meeting, and this is for the Public Works Director, at our meeting on Saturday, we had a resident come forward, and Jennifer and I went to his property, and it was on Westview Crescent. The ditching that was done there, and there was a cross culvert put in. They get a lot of drainage and excessive, and I would say probably excessive drainage coming off the school site. I think it's going to require some investigation as to what was approved there and if what's happening is really what was planned to happen. Because there's a big pipe that comes off the school property when they built the new school, and then I think staff to try and rectify the problem put in a cross culvert, but when we were there, very little water went through the cross culvert. A lot of it went down the street and down the what would be the east side of the ditch, and it essentially washed out all of the work that was done there. That's one. And number two, I think this is one I brought up a number of times before, but I noticed this past week, Monday, I believe it was yesterday, Graham's picked up their construction signs in my area, and McBride Court, which is just above me, only has its base coat of asphalt. It's going to be a very big problem because there's actually a lip now where the snowplow is going to have to go over to come onto Mount Hope Road. So I think overall, I'm just wondering whether we can find out what the intent is going forward. I think I get a lot of people complaining about the condition of these roads, the projects and how they happened, and whether we can find out so that collectively we all know, because I don't think the issues are just limited to my area. I think, you know, we've got Oliver's Lane, we've got a number of these issues that have been out. I think you and I have had a number of discussions about it, and I think we all collectively need to know what we're going to do going forward and what's going to have to happen, because it just isn't acceptable.
Mr. Loveridge.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, Councillor DeBoer, you and I have both had a number of conversations about the roads works, and I know a number of the councillors around this table have had discussions about the progress of the roads program this year and some of the quality of work. Mr. Wong's staff and my staff have been working over the last few months to put in place a new and updated contractor evaluation program. We've ensured that the contracts that we went out with this year are stronger from a performance perspective. We're going to evaluate those contractors as we go forward, and we have staff and consultants on a regular basis monitoring the work of those contractors. In the case of the roads that you're speaking of specifically, we've had requests to
modify our specification to allow them to pave late into the season, and we've denied those requests. And so I'm not sure if McBride specifically is related to that's why the second coat's not put on, or it's a policy or a procedure that they've been using throughout the year, which is doing part of the work, moving somewhere else, and then coming back later. So I'll follow up on McBride. I'll follow up as well on the one on Westview. I saw the pictures. Councillor Innes showed me the pictures earlier. The work that's there doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem to be done in accordance with the way we should do business. So I'm not sure if that's our staff that's done that or a contractor, but I'll follow up with us as well. So as for how we move forward and what the issues are, I think it'll be timely for at the end of the season, after the end of the paving season, which officially is the 30th of November in all of our contracts. I think it'd be timely or worthwhile for us to come back and talk about some of the issues we faced and the steps that we're going to take to address those in the 2016 program.
Okay. Two issues that do need to be addressed, though, is first of all on McBride, around the outside of the paving. So they got the base coat down on the outsides of it. The gravel is piled up from when they graded it. The first time the plow comes through, he's going to wing all of that material onto people's lawns. So somewhere along the line, it probably needs to be leveled with our grader and pulled over so it's flattened, so it doesn't end up over there. And then the lip at the road needs to be ground down so it's not a 90-degree angle, because I can just imagine how many windshields we're going to replace. Maybe not the first snowfall, but definitely at some point in time in the middle of the night, you're going to have somebody hook it.
So through you, Mayor Thompson, at this point, we still have a number of days until the end of the contract period. We'll follow up with the contractor to see if they're planning to finish those roads. I know there's a number, Councillor Befford, in Caledon Village. We were out there a couple of days ago as well. So they still have a significant amount of work. We made it clear to them that anything that had been started had to be completed by the end of the contract period, and we'll continue to monitor that until the end of the contract period, and then we'll determine the next steps from there.
Councillor Groves? Councillor Befford?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, and I can appreciate what the problems have been, and I know you'll do your best to get some of that paving done by the end of this week, although we've had quite a bit of snow up there, and it's chunky. I guess the real issue is that the frustration comes when the residents don't know what's happened. So I'm just wondering if there's any concerted plan to send a letter to people so that they just either they know that their road project has been put off for another year, or that it's going to be, well, if you're going to complete it, you complete it, but at least those people that thought they were going to get the pavement but aren't.
That's right, Mayor Thompson. I think two things. First of all, you know, we have our construction map that's on our website that's available through Ping Street as well. We've advertised that on a fairly regular basis, and it's not to sidestep the issue. That's one form of communication we've got. I think as part of the council work plans, one of the objectives of council work plan is to increase and to improve on the communications around our road program, and I think we need to find some more alternative ways and some more aggressive ways to get that information out, especially this year where there's been so many changes, and I think that, you know, we owe it to the residents to let them know. So if I was sitting on the roads in Caledon, living on those roads, I mean, not sitting on them, but living on those roads, I'd be looking around right now after the first snowstorm asking, you know, what's happening? Is it going to get done? So we have those issues to sort out. We're continuing to work with the contractor, through our consultant, through our own staff, to try and get as far as we can. But like I said, I've given the contractors enough room to get to, you know, they've set a schedule. We're holding them to that schedule. They have another week left on that schedule. We'll see what happens at the end of that week. I'm hoping that all of those roads in Caledon Village will be done, as well as where Councillor DeBoer is.
Mr. Leverage, I have one. Is he on the council inquiries? And I was just wondering if you can come back with a report. I moved a motion at council for the Veterans Parkway that is supposed to run from one end of the county, the region, to the other. So Mississauga and Brampton have agreed with Dixie Road. So Dixie Road comes up to Old Base, but to continue on through Horseshoe Hill Road. So we need to do our part, and I was just wondering if you can come back with a report at a later date to do the Veterans Parkway, which is, you know, recognizing, you know, from Mayfield to Highway 9. So part of that will be Horseshoe Hill Road. So can you come back.
Mayor Thompson, yes, it's timely. Received inquiry from PL the other day asking what steps we were taking in that regard. So I'll bring a report back before the end of the year.
Thank you.
No, I won't bring it back before.
Sorry, yes, through your worship, to Mr. Leverage, there are when you're talking about identifying roads to rename, there's a whole number of issues.
No. It's just added on.
Oh, I apologize.
It's a co-naming policy.
Okay. So. Okay, I wasn't sure if we had to provide notice. Okay, excuse me.
No. It's Christmas. We're taking it easy on you. Councillor Befford?
Yeah, just one other quick issue. It's regarding a sign in Alton, and we received some information from the region saying that we had to pass a motion here at the council table, and I sent that on to you and to the clerk, and I just wondered if there's anything that we can look at with that. It was the region appeal asking us to pass a motion so that they could go ahead and we can get this sign up in Alton Village.
I don't know.
I'll resend it.
Okay.
It was sent. Okay. We'll talk.
Perfect. Okay. No further on that. Public question period. Anybody from the public? Okay. Bylaws. Moved by Councillor Ennis, second by Councillor Misipelli, that the following bylaws be read first, second, third time, and finally passed. Bylaw 2015-093, Bylaw 2015-094, Bylaw 2015-095, Bylaw 2015-096, Bylaw 2015-097, Bylaw 2015-098, Bylaw 2015-099, and Bylaw 2015-100. All in favor? Carried. What else have we got here? Councillor Misipelli, you want to move adjournment? Second by Councillor Shaughnessy. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.